Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says, bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're going to hear. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine your idea. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little dear lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and let me tell you something right off the bat. Larry from San Diego has put his hat in the ring to be one of the best lunch providers ever. I'm not saying he's the best because we've had a lot of good ones, but he's up there.
I'm saying he's the best.
This is top five.
I'm not a gay man. Maybe. But if I ever decide to go that direction, I'm giving Larry a call.
Larry in San Diego went the extra mile and called Bar Louie.
Yeah, man!
And just ordered us a feast. So thank you, Larry.
It's amazing. Yeah. There was more stuff every time Tacoma came in. He had a different bag. It was unbelievable.
And I guess that they didn't accept his credit card over the phone, so he actually had to negotiate with them, and faxes were exchanged. And
I thought you were going to say he flew here.
Western Union was involved. There was wire transfers, so he really had to work to get this done. And so thank you, Larry from San Diego. We'll read your email shortly.
Yeah, make sure you read it.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
I will. But this is great. This is great. So thank you.
Best ever.
Anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress. 508-543-7482 is the phone number, as it always is, although I have to look at it every time I say it. And webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We'll be here until noon talking Patriots.
Till 2.
Right. We're here at noon. We'll be here till 2. Thanks, Eric.
I'm not staying for 24 hours.
Thanks, Eric. So,
although we probably have enough food to sustain ourselves for that long.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Dessert, too.
It's Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. It's Thursday everywhere, too, unless you're...
I think that every
not
time
you're in
you
Australia,
say that,
right?
Yeah.
He says that, and unless you're listening on a podcast and it's now Sunday.
Well, no, because in Australia, it's now...
It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
It's Friday.
That's right. So it's not Thursday everywhere you're listening.
No, I know.
And we
I
do
think
have
that every time.
LT from Australia.
Adelaide. There's another
Adelaide,
one.
Yeah.
Yankaboob or something.
Yeah, so, we have to be... Yankaboob? We have to be careful when we talk...
I didn't even mean to say that. Isn't it Jan Yankaboob or something? Isn't that one of our emailers?
Jan Yankaboob? It's something like that.
I don't think there's a ah in the middle of it, but the rest of it is pretty
boobs.
Close.
Because
yes!
I really... I know sometimes I say things stupid on purpose. That one I didn't...
No, really?
That was unintentional.
All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about. Everything from Patriots to Super Bowl to the Senior Bowl, Tim Tebow, things like that. So it's all
Let's
on the table.
Let's avoid the abortion
today.
Issue.
Well, no, I mean, I'm talking about his performance.
Okay.
You know, it was interesting, you know, and I was listening to Pete Carroll. He was on EEI yesterday morning. And it's rare that you hear a coach out and out just say that the guy isn't playing well. But he did. He said that Tim Tebow is struggling in the practices down at the Senior Bowl. And, it, He must be really struggling if a coach will just come out and just say that.
We should have knocked his lights out.
You know? Wow.
He has not improved his draft status this week in any way.
Certainly
not as a quarterback.
Tim Tebow's on the table, as is the Super Bowl. And I guess the teams, the Saints and the Colts, are having trouble with the NFL. They were mad about something, and then they got it squared away.
The Pro Bowl stuff. Colts were going to fly to Miami on Monday, but the NFL was forcing the seven players, I believe, that were elected from the Colts to the Pro Bowl to go down on Sunday. They were making it mandatory that they appear at the Pro Bowl.
Not in uniform.
Just in appearance.
Stand there on the sideline.
And, you know, the Colts were planning to have some sort of a practice in Indy before they left. And now, I mean, I don't know what the latest is. The last I had read were they were going to allow the players to leave the Pro Bowl at halftime, fly back to Indy, so they could fly back with their team.
Well, but there's an update to that now. Now the Colts are considering leaving the players there. The
players are going to stay there.
The Pro Bowl players.
I agree with Bill Polian. Couldn't have said it any better. It's stupid.
I totally agree with Bill
Polian. And he actually went a step further and
said that on the show.
It's also a poor lesson. On the eve of the biggest game, you're saying your best players are separate from your team. You're breaking your team apart into groups.
Now, does this come under the competition committee at all? Because I'm wondering if his team wasn't in the Super Bowl, if he'd be that vocal. I don't know.
I agree with you. He probably wouldn't be as vocal.
Oh, he wouldn't be. He wouldn't care as much.
But it would still be an issue. And by the way,
we
had the same issue
back
in 2001. It wasn't Pro Bowl related, but the fact that we had to have our guys out there for that meaningless Friday press conference that had to be on site. Remember, in 2001,
for the title game.
No, I know that, but they eliminated that, I think, largely because of what the Patriots did that year, having everybody fly to Pittsburgh, flying back, and then go back as a team. And I think it's the same kind of theory here, though. They want the team together. Even though this is for a Pro Bowl, and it's even more ridiculous now than it was then, I thought Belichick was right in 2001. I think Polian is right now.
No, I agree. This is one of those rare occasions that Polian is right.
But I think the league is admitting in this that the Pro Bowl sucks, and we need some of our stars there. We can't have everybody not there. And I think that's why
they're devaluing the Pro Bowl by trying to make it more valuable. I think they need to go back to...
No. I think they've realized this was an incredible F-up.
I hope so.
But I think they're trying to maximize this single game F-up. And you can't not have all those guys. I think that's why they're trying to force them to be there.
Right. I just hope they go back to normal next year and keep it that way.
They're already signed on to go to Hawaii and do the it's
right, but it's only
years,
for like a year or two. Right. Yeah. I hope they.
But I think they've realized this.
Wasn't
sucks.
The issue though that Hawaii never paid, and now they're making them pay, and maybe they had to go put it somewhere for at least a year, and so they're putting lipstick on a pig and saying, oh, we wanted to do this experiment to see how it would, but when in fact it was we had to get it out of Hawaii until they were ready to pay us to have it back.
Yeah, and I think the Hawaiian legislature had to vote on whether or not they wanted to keep it there or whatever, and it was a pretty contentious issue from what I read, and it came down and they finally agreed to do it.
And it wasn't a ton of money, right?
No, it was like $500,000 a year or something like that.
It's nothing. I mean, when you think about they're going to spend that just in flying the players back in, having hotel rooms and whatever, they'll make up that money. So it makes sense for Hawaii. But it's a debacle, an absolute debacle. David Garrard is a quarterback. He was the seventh alternate, whatever. Just an absolute embarrassment.
It really is.
It would be good, though, if somebody came up with some alternative to the game in the Pro Bowl that, you know,
I did.
Would be good for the
fans. Playboy
fans.
Pro Bowl announcement show. 2 hours, Hugh Hefner's mansion, the players, you know, it's a big party, it's entertainment, it's music, it's a big show.
So there's no event.
No football involved.
Yeah, there's no live event with fans.
We're going speaking!
No.
I think they can still keep it in Hawaii and do that.
Well, sure. And they can do whatever they want.
I
know everybody's afraid of games because of Robert Edwards, of doing X, Y, and Z. But sure, fluff it up, have wiffle ball, or have a few just like, you know, MTV rock and jock type events. Just have a little fun with it and make it this star-studded event.
I think the reason why people, not that many people watched the Pro Bowl to begin with, but I think the people who did, part of the reason was the novelty of it being in Hawaii. And all of the side things that went on during that week and everything. I don't know. Miami just doesn't seem as exciting a venue, even though
South
Beach is a great place.
One of the players said, we go there anyway.
Right.
Were there
half
any...
of them lived there in the
right,
offseason.
Right. You know?
Yeah. Ray Lewis, I think, was the one who was
yes. yeah.
outspoken.
But I mean,
about
Ty
that.
Laws I lives there, and he's not even. Ray Lewis is from.
Ray,
there.
But remember, Ray Lewis said that.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
but I'm
Hawaii
saying,
was a vacation.
Dante Stallworth isn't from there, is he? And he lived there and got in trouble there. But yeah. I mean, a lot of guys in the NFL, that's where they choose to offseason. I think Welker still has a place there. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Brady's always there. I don't know if he owns a place, but he's always down there.
You have to come to grips. I think there are some things that, and I know it runs counter. These guys are all about making money and being good businessmen. All of these people that are in, you know, from Roger Goodell to the owners and to all the people that are involved in these decisions. So it's hard for them to sit back and say, it doesn't work. What can we do to fix it? It's hard for them not to say that. But in this case, the Pro Bowl is irreparably broken. I don't think there's anything you can do to, quote unquote, fix it. There is no interest in it. None.
Yeah.
Whether it's in Hawaii or the, you know, the mainland, it there's just no one wants to watch it. The ratings are minuscule. They lose money there. No one is going to go to the game and pay any amount of money for it.
What if?
I mean, they might have a packed house there, but there are people that paid $5 and $10
for
tickets.
Oh, yeah. And it's people that, let's just go to the Pro Bowl.
What if instead of a Pro Bowl, the league sponsors the National All-Star High School game, and each player gets a Pro Bowl mentor, and wears that, and wears that in addition to his name, wears that player's name on his jersey, and for the practices leading up to the game, the players are on hand to help mentor and practice with the kid, and then they're on the sidelines
with the
team.
I kind of like that idea, and I'll take you one step further, Fred. We can do that, and in addition. How about, I think they've done this once or twice before, way, way in the past. But these guys that are at the Senior Bowl this week,
yep.
put that team together and play the NFL All-Stars. Because these guys who are going to be in the NFL are going to be playing against that same competition in a few months anyway.
Now you
start early.
It back to the 30s. That's how it used
That's
to
what
be.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It used to be like that a long time ago. How about if you include that, then
no
you
way.
Get interest
too
from the college and the
no,
pro.
Too
fans.
Much risk.
Too much risk. Yeah.
How is that any more risk than the kids playing each other?
It's kids playing each other.
How is that any different?
Because if they're not going for a contract.
You see the difference between Ray Lewis and some guy? I mean, sure, Patrick Willis played in that game, but for the most part.
Right. He's a different player than he was when he was in college.
These games have like five elite players.
You know,
players,
that's why
it's
ridiculous when people say,
how about you mix up the teams,
though? If Oklahoma played, you know, the Oakland Raiders, they would have a chance. No, they wouldn't.
Well, like the Senior Bowl has two sides. So you pick one side to mix with the AFC squad and the other side to mix with the NFC squad, and you have both players from
I want to make it a little,
the All-Stars and the NFL playing together.
I want to make it
together.
A little bit more pure. I want to make it high school kids. High school kids.
I get a Fred Kirsch idea, which is to say it's not a great one. You have them bowl. The pro bowl. They're pro bowlers. They bowl.
You mean go down to the lanes
and
duck pin or...
You just brought that up, and I know you were making a joke, but you know, and I'm being 100% serious. Somebody once told me not to write the term pro bowler, because it's...
Did that somebody work here?
Now, why do you got to be like that?
Oh.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, but it wasn't Fred.
Does he still work here?
Yes.
In a different capacity or the same capacity? Because I have two people in
mind. Same capacity.
Okay.
Not to use the term pro bowler, because it's ambiguous. It's unclear of what you're talking about. So if I said Pro Bowler Tom Brady, somehow they didn't know if I was talking
about...
could
be with the PBA.
Right.
Right.
No, because isn't that a small?
What?
It'd be a small P.
So ridiculous.
A big Pro Bowler is a big P, big B. A professional bowler would be a small P, unless you write a PBA-er.
He's right. You would never say football player, capital F, capital P.
Right. Right. Wow. Anyway.
We've reached that point where this show is stupid.
It's only 12:16 and we're already...
We're analyzing capital P versus lowercase
At some
P.
point, we're going to talk about Vince Wilfork.
So you mentioned Wes Welker a little earlier. There's a... he did.
You did mention that he had a place in Miami.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't want to segue right there.
Not the fact that he's having surgery on Tuesday, according to several reports.
That's what I wanted to bring up. Wes Welker reports are that he's having surgery on Tuesday.
Surgery.
Well, I did just eat a Mario in
Sounds
like
you're
minutes.
Having surgery.
You down to Mario?
Oh, sure. Last piece.
They have the sandwich.
It's a sandwich. Don't shake your head at me.
At Bar Louie.
They also have a
Louie,
I think. Don't they have a Louie as
yeah.
well? It's a few different men's names.
Yeah. And it was very good. Anyway, so Wes Welker's scheduled by, according to reports, surgery on Tuesday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's having it here in Boston.
At Mass General.
Massachusetts.
At Mass General Hospital.
Now, that would lead us to believe that the team is doing it, correct?
Right.
That it's
That's correct.
Their guy, not... his guy.
You know, I was wondering if Brady would say, hey, go to my guy.
Off microphone and you could hear
Paul
that.
Paul just snarfed.
Well, I mean, it's pretty funny.
Hey, I got a guy for you.
Yeah. Hey, come on. It's just a little slight little mishap. Could have happened to anyone.
Yeah, but you open yourself up for...
I mean, besides that, criticism. Brady looked like he recovered pretty well.
When you
well.
Let just anyone do it, yeah, it could happen to anyone. Yeah.
Anyway, so Welker will be opened up on Tuesday. Wilfork was...
Will PFW be covering that?
We might actually have one of those little cameras that go inside the knee, and we'll have Andy do play-by-play.
Freddie, you're going to be eating your Junior Mints?
What's that? My Junior
he didn't,
Mints?
He didn't get the Seinfeld
I know you're kidding,
reference.
But you know, I have the footage of my knee surgery. If you ask them for it, they'll give it to you.
Oh, is that right?
Because they use cameras. Right. So they have it, and it runs through a monitor, and it's recording as you go, and you just basically print out a VHS copy or whatever.
Right.
Just so picture you have that.
Team PFW standing over on the...
does it
now
have
you'll
audio?
See him moving sure. past some cartilage here to really get in the depth of
and
the
And
knee.
Fred drops the
At one point, the doctor
man.
Says, did you get a load of the size of his freaking head? We should do something about that while we've got him under sedation.
Well, I will tell you, when I had shoulder surgery, it was a local, so I was kind of like groggy but could hear.
Right.
And I heard the guy say, oops.
Oh.
And my back burned because he spilled hot water on
oh,
me.
Oh, my God.
What was the hot water for?
That cleansing or something.
The guy's coffee.
For all I know, yes, because I couldn't really move. I just like heard oops. And I asked him about it the next day. He goes,
stay
yeah,
awake.
I don't
long
know
shift
that.
Here.
But, yeah, we will not be there. And, yeah, we'll see Wes Welker in forever. I love how people have been all worked up about when he's going to have it, and he's waiting
right,
so long.
Right.
And he's
it doesn't
it's
matter.
It's what they do.
Right, right.
It's like commonplace.
Well,
the abnormal one was Tom Brady
yeah.
having his repaired. 99 also, out of 100, just wait for the MCL to heal and then do the ACL.
Right. Let's let Wes and his doctor worry
and
about
And what else
that.
Happens 99 out of 100 times?
Yeah.
It goes as planned. You don't get this right. massive infection.
I'm waiting for the doctor to say, well, how did it go? Oh, terrible.
Went fine.
It was just awful.
Couldn't find the damn thing, first of all.
I'm waiting for that day.
I froze. I pulled right. a Nate Kading. I choked. Right.
I started on the wrong knee.
Every sports flash will be underwent successful reconstructive right. knee surgery.
Right.
That'll be Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning. Right. I've never heard unsuccessful surgery.
Vince Wilfork.
You know, Brady had one. But
Vince Wilfork did an interview with Michael Holly on EEI.
And Paul's favorite guy, too. Don't forget him.
Made
Lou
it
Maloney.
Clear that he's not happy with the situation and does not want to be franchised.
Yeah. Basically said all the same stuff he said post-game against the Ravens.
He did use some
a little
buzzwords.
More tone.
I thought there were some buzzwords in that interview that are probably not going to play well with the fans.
Which?
Slap in the face?
Got to think about my family. The franchise salary is okay.
That was player. The dumbest thing he's ever said. By far.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Is the top five at your position, that's considered okay?
Right.
No, that's the top five at your position. If it was the average of all 32 tackles or 64 defensive
tackles?
And
we all know what he means by that is that it's okay for 1 year, but he's right. looking for a long-term deal.
Right.
But he said it. And there's some, like I said, there's some buzzwords there that I don't think will play well. But listen, he definitely, we saw it after the Baltimore game. Now we heard it again yesterday. There has been a sort of a change for Vince from the guy who's going to say all the right things and do the right things to a guy who now is saying some things but maybe laying the groundwork to not necessarily do all the things that he did last year. I think he's definitely laid the groundwork that if he gets franchises, you can expect a holdout.
And now one right. of you guys might jump down my throat on this, but I also sense a change, and I think the majority of people still say sign the guy.
Mario already jumped down
your throat. He's done all the right things, sign him, one of your best defensive players. But I think there is a growing trend of people saying, well, maybe not. Maybe he's not worth signing to as much money as he wants.
For the fans?
Yeah.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think there's been a lot of that.
So, that's how I feel.
That's how you feel.
Well, I told you, I kind of, for some reason, changed my thought process.
See, I would like to know what was offered, because I don't know what was offered. Maybe it is...
He said specifically that he had not talked contract since the beginning of the season.
Oh, well, that
yesterday.
Could be true. But I'd like to know what the last offer was. you know.
Yeah.
You won't.
Yeah, you probably won't know that.
Well, it'll come up
and
someday.
And the price in his mind certainly would have gone up during the course of the season.
Right. Yeah.
He played very well.
Yeah.
The thing that concerns me, though, is, okay, let's assume that that's the growing consensus. That's, you know, sign him, whatever, take it or leave it. How do you replace him? Do you stick with the 3-4 and try to put a nose tackle in there? Because from what we've seen, Ron Brace can't do that. Do you go to a 4-3,
yep,
play a different type of technique, completely change the scheme, and try to get by with, you know, average to slightly above average players at that position? That's where my concern would be.
Well, no, I would go to the 4-3, and that would involve, excuse me, starting to try to put together personnel that's above average, that's good personnel. But,
That could take a while, though. That could take some time.
If you do it right, no. If you do it wrong, yes.
I would like to do... I don't care if it's a 4-3 or a 3-4 or any of that stuff. I would like to change a little bit of the principles of how they play. And Bill always says that regardless of what front they're in, they generally run the same defense. It's just different personnel. But they'll stay in their two-gap principles, and you're not looking for penetration and down, you know, getting the defensive lineman upfield after the quarterback. I would like to see a change from that. You know, like we always talk about, Pittsburgh and San Diego play 3-4s like the Patriots do, but there's really no similarities. I'd like to play, whether it's 3-4 or 4-3, a little bit more of an attacking style.
More aggressive, yeah. More upfield.
Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a coach. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that opens you up to things that Bill doesn't like.
It's probably, if you're not in that mindset all the time, you are more susceptible to getting burned by a quarterback who's half decent.
I don't mind that. I like playing defense where I'm trying to dictate the way the game is played, rather than reacting. I've always been more in favor of an attack style that I think is going to force some mistakes, force some turnovers, make it tough for a team on third down, like the Jets do. I mean, I'm not talking about the personnel, but the Jets get beat. The Jets, look, we just saw it. Peyton just ripped them apart the last three quarters of that game.
He might be the only quarterback that can do that, though.
But he just absolutely ripped them apart for the last three quarters of that game on Sunday. But to me, if I'm the Jets, that's the way I want to go out. I don't want to go out sitting back in a cover two and watching Tom Brady and Peyton Manning rip me apart.
Right.
Because I know that will happen to good quarterbacks. No. I know good quarterbacks will rip that apart.
Yep.
I mean, we punted on 4th-and-2. We were so sure that Peyton Manning was going to do that to us.
And to your point, Paul, let's look back at 2007. Teams in the beginning of the year sat back on their heels and tried to react to what New England was trying to do on offense.
Exactly.
And the first teams that started to say, you know what, the heck with this. We're going to come after Tom Brady.
He's
Philadelphia,
beat you.
Baltimore,
the
Giants.
Good players,
those
are going to beat you
regardless.
Well. Yeah. The good players are going to find a way to beat you because the offense has the advantage.
Yeah.
You know, the way the league is structured and the way the league wants it to be, and I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, but let's face it, the league wants points. They want the passing games accentuated, and they want points getting put in the board. When you have a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady, you know, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, you're going to move the ball and score points.
Yep.
You got to try to create a couple of turnovers.
Fred. Wow.
Create a couple of turnovers and you change the style of the game and change the, put a team in comeback mode.
Yep. Yeah, but there's no saying. I mean, this 3-4 defense under Bill Belichick used to create turnovers. They had success. They were good.
You're absolutely right. I do think
you can suck at both and you can be good at both.
I understand it. I that's why I prefaced the whole thing by saying I'm not a coach and I'm not.
You may not have been listening.
I'm not a defensive coordinator. I'm not a coach. I don't know what kind of things you open yourself up to by doing things like that. I think there has been a change in the game over the last 5 or 6 years, and I think it's been that long since the Patriots defense has done those things that Andy just talked about consistently. It's been at least 5 or 6 years since I could look at their defense and say, wow, this is a pretty good defense.
Yeah, but is that
the
change
in the game? I
think
you've got to go all the way back to 04.
Some of the players not as good? And
probably a combination of both, not to steal Bill's favorite line.
All things being equal, Bill.
Never really. Never
read. All right, before we go to a break and get to the phones, I want to read Larry's email from San Diego.
Larry, once again, thank you very much. This is over the
top. I may throw up later, but it's okay.
He says, hey, guys, and the birthday boys this week, Doc and Brian. I guess he's talking below.
When's your birthday?
Or Tacoma.
Doc.
You really are just
today.
Respectful.
Today?
Oh, that's sweet.
You guys' 50? Birthday is the
what
same
are you, 50?
Day?
No, mine's today, and Brian's is Saturday.
So what are you now, 46?
No.
Oh.
62. 38.
28.
1941.
28?
28.
You're not 28. No way.
He's younger
you
than you.
It's
just because
a year
of the
under
hairline.
50.
Wow. Who looks older than they really are more, Paul or Doc?
You can't say I look older than I am.
I can't?
No.
He just did.
Come on.
Larry says, I was originally looking forward to Pat's coming to San Diego for the playoffs, but after Welker went down, Andy entered joke here.
What?
I knew Welker went down.
Oh, Andy. No. Welker doesn't go. I mean, have you seen the women
the media goes down
company
on Welker.
No. Welker Miss went Hooters down. 1998 or 2005 or whatever.
Is that right?
That.
Welker went down and down.
Didn't you see those photos of her? Miss
Carrot Cake?
Anna something. She was in the...
Where's the chocolate ones?
The Globe or one of those celebrity pages, and she's Miss Hooters from like 3 years ago.
Yeah?
Yeah. He doesn't go down in any, but, well,
forget it. Maybe he does.
Oh. Anyway, I knew I would be watching a beating, so I'm glad because the Charger fans I work with would have been relentless. I think the Pats losing to Baltimore showed us that Belichick, head coach of the New England, is still a genius.
That's still funny.
If we had beaten Baltimore, our chances of going to the Super Bowl were almost nil, and we would have been out of the playoffs, and we would have fell into the final eight rule next year. We need talent in many areas, and being in the final eight would have made it impossible for a quick fix. I prefer to look at the Baltimore game as Belichick's greatest coaching job ever, getting us to believe he actually game-planned and having the players fool us into thinking that they were actually trying to win was brilliant. Before Pats fans start a conspiracy rumor going, I am just kidding about trying to lose, but I do believe that the team was better off losing to Baltimore only because of the uncapped rules that will be in place next year. Do you all agree?
Brilliant.
Hope you enjoyed the grub, and thanks for keeping me so entertained all year long.
They certainly looked like they were trying to lose.
I don't necessarily agree with that, though.
I do think it, well, no, we don't. No one. But Larry said he was kidding.
Right.
But he's wondering if it was better off that they lost.
In the long run, it might turn out to be.
I don't think.
That's what I'm saying. I don't agree with
the
that.
The final eight rule.
I don't think it's ever better to lose.
That's my point.
Well, except for when it avoids a flight to San Diego.
Oh, for you, I'm talking about his play.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did my personal feelings
come up? One quick note we've learned in some research on the uncapped year and the CBA and everything.
Yeah.
The rule of 8-4 does not include franchise players. It includes unrestricted free agents.
Only.
So only unrestricted. All those rules about they can't sign them, they can replace them, all that. So if the Colts win the Super Bowl, they can still sign Julius Peppers to an offer sheet, give two first-round picks, and bring him, or Vince Wilfork, and bring him on over. So I think this could be the year. This could be the year you see a team use the franchise tag. They acquire a person because if you're you can't sign anybody else, you're 30th, 32nd, you're picking low in the draft.
You might as well go after the talent.
Why not go after the top talent?
And the final four is much more restrictive than that final eight.
Right.
Final eight isn't really that big a deal.
Right.
It's one guy you can sign. And then you have to
two
lose
ways.
One guy.
No, two like slots, I believe. There's a five and a 3 million somewhere in those ranges.
Well, you're right. And so it's not. First of all, that's never been the Patriots' way, anyways, to go out. I mean, with the exception of 2007, that was evidently just commonplace. That's never been their thing to go out and get four or five impact free agents in a season, anyway. So whether they were in the final eight or not, I don't think is going to be overly restrictive.
And
the final four could be. The final four could make it a little bit tougher if you wanted to do that. But let's face it, who would rather be able to sign free agents instead of being in a conference championship?
It's 1 year. Right. I mean, it's not like this is expected to be the scenario for the next 10 years or whatever. I mean, it's 1 year.
Another thing we learned, too, was that doesn't count if you sign a guy who was cut by his team and became a free agent.
Those are not unrestricted.
Those are not unrestricted free agents.
Which is another thing we learned recently doing some of this research.
Right. So you would not only get the player, you would also get the corresponding compensatory picks in the following draft if you didn't sign an unrestricted free agent of equal or lesser value than the one you lost because of that rule, which we didn't know about. But that's interesting because, like last year, the Patriots signed several players who were cut by their team and thereby became free agents.
Right.
It's not like their contracts
pretty much all
they were unrestricted.
Lee Bodden, Sean Springs,
Chris Baker.
Tully Bantakane had all been cut.
So they get the value of having those players come to the team and contribute, and they also get compensatory picks for having lost free agents.
Good. Very smart. And we'll have a lot of those rules.
It is if that guy ends up being a better player than the guy
would have been if those guys could have played.
But you'll have a lot of those rules in the next issue of PFW, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Primer.
Right.
1-800-494-PATS.
We've done some research on the uncapped year, and we're going to put together a little, like a frequently asked questions kind of deal.
A little primer. Cape Cod Scott not writes opinion. In at webradio@patriots.com. He says, Paul was on EEI yesterday again. He says, so what do you think? Should they name the afternoon show on EEI Political Issue Wednesday? I couldn't believe you got stuck in another situation like last Wednesday.
Good for you, Paul.
Was it another political day?
Well, it was 3 hours of regular, and then all of a sudden we started talking about the Tim Tebow Super Bowl ad.
Oh, right.
And Buckley and Glenn started getting into it, and it was – I just looked and I said, no, stop, stop. I had to sit here the whole week last week and not say anything, and Buckley just started laughing.
Who's on –
because he heard the last week's show.
Who's on which side in that?
We were all on the same side, actually. Oh, okay. We were all 100% in agreement, but it's just – to me, it's not really a whole lot of fun to talk about.
One other Paul note. On your appearance on Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight Monday, did you have a hole in your left shoe next to your little toe? I couldn't tell for sure on my TV. If so, it's okay. I have a pair of really comfortable shoes I still wear, even though they have a little hole in them, just not on TV.
Good Lord. I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
It's not a hole in the shoe. Unfortunately, I stepped in a
puddle. Hole, fool.
I stepped in a puddle on Monday. Day that I did Comcast, and I now have a big like salt line on the side, on both sides, the instep and the outside of that shoe. So I'm probably going to have to.
You can polish them.
Well, they're kind of like an old
shoes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get probably a new pair of shoes.
Okay.
Bass is having good sales.
Yeah.
Andy, by the
presented
way.
Presented by Raytheon.
No, that's
not
hall.
Presented by Raytheon.
That's not the whole place.
It's like you buy one pair, you get four free.
Andy's been he's been a big-time supporter of Patriot Place lately.
A big bass.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, big mouth bass.
I go up there all the time. It's my favorite place. Shop, live,
enjoy.
Eat, dine.
I knew it was something
Shop, dine,
enjoy.
Eat, right? Dine?
No.
That's the same thing?
Shop, dine, enjoy.
Shop, dine, enjoy.
I did. That's catchy.
Sawyer from Waterloo, another Paul thing.
I supported Paul Moxon.
Last show, Paul mentioned something about the reffing during games, but I'm confused. He never really says how he feels about them. Does he like the way they call the game, or does he have a problem? Could he please for once get off the fence and say what he really thinks about the refs? Come on, Paul.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Now, I guess there were some bad calls
they stink.
That they admitted to.
Yeah.
What did they admit
the
to?
The not calling the roughing on the Favre injury, the low hit.
Yeah, I agree.
How about the Melvin penalty. Bullitt play?
I don't know.
Did they should've. Say anything about the pass interference?
Did not.
Really?
Yeah.
So the game that ultimately decided the game, the play that the ultimately play that decided the game, they didn't. Pereira at his best.
Pussyfoot Pereira.
Sounds a lot like
I thought he was
our
leaving.
Webmaster.
He was, but he hasn't.
But supposedly they don't
Is
have
like
a guy to
replace
him.
Like he's just going to hold on to this job forever?
I don't
Bud
know.
Selig.
Yeah.
Pereira
Bud Selig.
Sucks. Merry
when was
Christmas.
He leaving?
Huh?
Oh, he's leaving. He's
Bud
announced
Selig
his retirement.
Was supposed to be just
he
an
was supposed
interim
to be an
commissioner.
Interim guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, but then they named him
but
the commissioner.
But then they named him commissioner.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
But he was interim for a while, wasn't he?
But it wasn't
like head coaches are always interim until they name him head coach.
Well, I'm not going to, because I know how much you hate baseball. I won't.
But I thought he was interim for more than 1 year.
Right. He wasn't supposed to be.
But
he supposed to go back to his car dealership.
He wasn't not supposed to be that either, though.
His car dealership? Is that
or
where
the
you
team
made
that he owns?
He wanted to be the commissioner.
Exactly.
They gave it to him on an interim basis first. It's like Perry Fuel for Buffalo. I'm sure he would have loved to have been named head coach.
I don't know.
I'm not so sure.
I think that's why he jetted for the Giants so quickly. You see, he jetted for the Giants.
I see what you did.
Because they didn't hire him.
Yeah, I think he wanted out, though. Just like everybody
else. I think
else.
If they offered him the head coaching job, he would have taken it.
Not so sure.
Because he ain't going to be a head coach.
Yeah, but that's the same as not being a head coach.
Bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Front office nonsense, says John from L.A. Belichick once praised Brewski for being, among other things, socially smart in terms of locker room relations. He always knew exactly the right thing to do, how to handle things, or something like that. I think Belichick should stand to take a page from the socially smart manual. Bill, you should have re-signed Samuel. You should pay Vince Wilfork. If you don't, and you don't, while at the same time extending scrubs like Nick Kazier and Eric Alexander, the players won't necessarily see the nuance of, well, those guys didn't cost that much. Vince is a different type of negotiation. They'll just see that you took care of those guys and let the star wither on the vine. In other words, you will piss them off and wind up having no shot at even the slightest hometown discount from guys like Wilfork and, wait for it, it is going to happen, Tom Brady. You think Brady's going to leave money on the table like he did last time?
No.
Whether the perception equals the reality or not, Deion Branch left for more money, and there is no way Brady doesn't have that in the back of his mind. And if he doesn't, it's because it's in the front. especially given Samuel and Vince
good
if he
job.
Leaves. Taking care of elites like Samuel, Vince, and Brady saves you money in the end. I think saving money and being financially smart does not mean you can't be socially smart as well. We used to see them do it right for years, and I think lately the Patriots are social mongoloids when it comes to dealing with their elite playmakers, and it's coming back to bite them in the ass, and they're still bending over. Wow. John from L.A.,
nice.
Just scathing commentary on the way the Patriots are handling negotiations for their star athletes.
When was they did it right for years, quote-unquote? Like, which...
Right. 'Cause
there was an overlapping there. They did it right with some guys, Seymour and Brady and mm-hmm. Warren or whoever, mm-hmm. and they did it wrong by the other guys like Branch.
Again, I think that
Samuel,
you know, Samuel's a mistake. You know, they should have adjusted the value they put on him. Whatever value system they had, it was skewed for Samuel. They misjudged that.
Clearly.
You know, they misjudged what it would take to replace him.
But is there a snowball building in the locker room because of multiple times where players see things?
It might be, but you know what? That same snowball exists in every locker room. I'm sorry.
I think it's a problem now.
Every team has that, and I think the Patriots have always had it.
It didn't appear to be as outward a problem, though, as it's been in the last few months.
See, so because they haven't won.
I think exactly.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
what the Patriots. The I think what the Patriots try to do.
Now, Eric's involved in the right show.
I think what the Patriots try to do a little bit of is get enough new blood in on an annual basis to make sure that the guys who might have that snowball feeling that Andy talked about, there are not enough of them.
But to me, the snowball feeling
is you're
the young guys.
To exactly. You're replacing.
It doesn't, I don't care about old guys feeling anything. To me, it's Gerard Mayo. It's the stars you develop. If they feel like they develop and they're never going to be treated right here, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But what I think the difference is, and Fred said that it's because they're not winning. I think that's part of it. Now, instead of the young guys coming in and saying, wow, it doesn't really seem like everybody's being treated the right way, but look at what we're doing. We're winning three mm-hmm. Super Bowls in 4 years. Those young guys are going to recognize, I'm Dan Copen. Maybe they'll re-sign me. Or I'm Asante Samuel. They didn't re-sign me. Some of them are going to get signed. Some of them won't.
So they'll try to be
ways.
Average and not great?
Now they're turning over that roster and they're bringing in players and they're not good enough to keep winning Whoa. Because it's so hard to do it that way.
Oh, boy. Here we go again.
That what's happening now is what Andy's talking about and young guys like Mayo. Well, I wouldn't even put Mayo in that category because I think Mayo is a level-headed guy. I think immature guys like Merriweather and that whole contingent, I think, are looking around saying, what's the difference,
right.
to borrow Andy's phrase that he just used? I mean, should we just try to be average?
Well, I was going to say, using your examples and logic, you're better off being a middling player like Nick Cashier and those guys because you'll get an extension than you are being great because they'll let you go.
Yeah,
I'm not saying this, Fred. I'm just using Paul's logic.
If you wanted to stay
not
here.
My logic, Paul's logic.
It's funny. I thought I was using Andy's logic, but
let's blame it on Eric.
I mean, let's put it this way. When Bill Belichick came here, he had a pretty bad track record as a head coach.
Yes.
Okay, and he went 5-11 his first year with the Patriots. If mm-hmm. that had continued, as much as we know that Bill is the greatest coach ever,
he
wouldn't have lasted.
Right.
As good as we know he is now, mm-hmm. he wouldn't have lasted.
Right.
You know, it's all about winning. So, you know, you can say, well, the Patriots' method is harder to win the way they do it.
It is.
You know, so if you're not going to win, it creates this locker room rancor. I would say the same thing for teams like Washington who overspend on players and don't win. So those the other players are like, well, they're spending all their money on Haynesworth and they're spending all their money on this guy. That's why we're not winning.
I would say there's rancor in the Washington locker room. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's downsides on no matter what
I'll
method you do if you don't win.
I'll bet there's not a ton of it in other places.
I bet you there is, Paul.
I bet there's not a ton of it in Indianapolis.
Look, there are. I remember back in 1990.
Picks a team in the Super Bowl.
I remember back in 1995.
I bet there's not a ton of it in San Diego.
Going back to the 40s.
How about Jacksonville?
Jacksonville does probably. They're cheap and stink.
I remember.
I don't think they're cheap. I don't think they have the money.
I remember in 1995 Whatever. Or 96 when Meggett got re-upped. He got some decent money at the time. And, you know, guys making fun of them. They are all aware of what each guy makes. There's classes. It's on their minds all the time. This is what mm-hmm. they do. And
so the solution is just don't give anybody anything.
No, the solution is pick the right players. When whatever system you're doing, get the right players. That's the solution.
And pay them.
Well,
get the right players, and then when you realize you have them, pay them.
But don't give them a nickel more than we think they should get.
That's not true. I mean, sometimes you do overpay. But, you know, what I'm saying is it all starts with getting the right guys, because you can spend all you want,
right,
and if the team isn't...
We're all well aware of that. But the point we're saying is in Indy, where they've proven over the years they're stars, if you develop into our key player, we're going to throw a boatload of money at you and keep you, because it's Reggie Wayne, it's Peyton Manning, it's Dallas Clark, it's Robert Freeney,
Jeff Saturday,
Dwight Freeney,
Robert
Bob
Mathis, Sanders,
those
guys.
He goes, nope.
They're in a place there where Austin Colley goes... My God, if I become great, they're going to pay me. I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to be one of their guys.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Isn't that true, Fred?
You always say, you always throw the Washington big money thing. You always throw back at me and Andy. I'm not suggesting the Patriots should spend more money. I'm not. I think the Patriots' way is to give five guys $1 million each. I think that sometimes it's better to give two guys $2.5 million each.
Or
than
one guy,
five guys, one each. And the Patriots don't seem to share my philosophy. It's not about more money. It's not about that. I know that you think that that's all I'm talking about. I'm not suggesting that they open up the checkbook and spend more money. I'm suggesting that when they get a guy, you say it's about the right guys.
Right.
I think when they get the right guy, they don't always keep him.
I know, but
because of their value system.
All right, but you say that. But other than Samuel, which I will admit, again, was a mistake.
But you say other than Samuel,
Deion Branch
wasn't
a mistake.
Okay.
Adam Vinatieri wasn't
fine.
A mistake.
If you think that, that's fine. That's what we disagree.
Why weren't they mistakes?
I think Branch cost them a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Why
to me, if you had four Super Bowl titles, it'd be easier to accept a 10-6.
I don't think so, because for the money that he was asking, the money that he was asking and the amount of times he's asked Seattle if – and put them on a lie detector and say if they got their money's worth with Deion Branch.
Yeah, but who's
but
to say
what
the that
would have
happened? Right. Things would have been different if you were
that,
here.
But how else? You don't know that. I mean, the Patriots have whatever value they put on him, and they made a mistake again with Samuel, but you can't say that every guy that they let go was a mistake.
No, I'm not saying that.
Well,
I'm saying
also, other than Samuel, who is it? Branch.
Ty Law, Deion Branch,
really?
Richard Seymour. Yes.
And they've gotten by.
You don't think anybody's a mistake except for Samuel.
But do you know how much Ty Law was asking for?
Do you?
No, but
all right. So we're even.
But he wanted a lot. You know that, right?
Right. And they would. And that's exactly my point. Well, the guys who want a lot don't get it.
Well, Brady won a lot. He got it.
Oh God.
And he's going to get it again.
And he didn't get as much as he should have.
Well, you know,
or could have.
That's a lot of people say that. I think it's a little bit overdone about how much money he left on the table.
I know, because he's up for another contract, and we have to make sure we get that message out there.
Well, what if he signs here again? Is he just stupid? Tom Brady?
If he signs a below-market deal, yes.
So whatever deal he signs, you know that, in your mind,
in
the
my
Patriots
opinion, he's going to get every dime he can possibly
he's got an insurance
get.
Policy, now.
In my opinion.
But if it's with the Patriots, then what happened to their philosophy?
I would say that they made a change, and for the better.
Okay. Maybe it's the player that they put a higher value on.
And this would be the first one, in my opinion.
What about Seymour?
They didn't do that to him.
The first time they signed him, they didn't put a high value on him and gave him an extension?
Yeah, they gave him a $30 million extension.
Okay.
Not an Albert Haynesworth kind of a deal.
So,
but it was $30 million.
It was 30 guaranteed.
Right.
That's what made that deal good for Seymour, is that he was going to get it all.
Yeah. But that was
but
4 years ago.
It wasn't as high as it could have been.
But that was 4 years ago. Haynesworth got $40 million guaranteed 4 years later. So I think the Seymour deal was a great deal for the player and the team, personally.
Yeah, I do, too.
But I think it was legit money.
But it wasn't
you're right, Fred. That's an example of they paid a guy.
Yeah. I think when they...
Especially after giving him a bump.
I'll give you that one.
They might have a very stringent value system, and I don't disagree with that. Maybe, you know, you go the way they handle the draft, it just... We get frustrated covering the draft. It's just like, why not take that guy, you know? So what if he's not an exact fit in a three, you know? We get frustrated with that. And so, you know, I will say that I'm not disagreeing with those who have a problem with this whole value system there. But I don't think it has anything to do with not willing to pay out money.
We just said that. We said it's not about spending more money. It's spending it differently.
That's okay.
It's spending
properly.
$5 million
spending
on one instead of one on five.
Right.
It's wiser.
But I think they try to do
exactly.
both. I think that when there's...
And I also think, and Jonathan wholeheartedly agreed with this on Felger and Maserati a couple of weeks ago, that, and we also had someone who talked to us about the CBA a little bit who backed Jonathan's point up. The salary cap is no longer an impediment, and it hasn't been since 06.
It's not an impediment, but it is a factor. I'm sorry. You know, otherwise
you
could
disagree
spend
with Jonathan. Then.
Well, that's
It happens
Trust
often.
Me.
That is true. Yes, you know what?
All too often.
In fairness to Fred, that is true. It's
I've
not
seen
like
him
Fred's,
go at it in the hallway.
It's yeah. not like Fred just overlesses says everything that Jonathan says is Bible.
Trust me, that's not what that they meant, true. That you can do whatever you want and not have to worry about the
salary
cap. I didn't
say that.
That's not what he said,
I didn't
though.
Say that. Yeah. I said it's not an impediment.
Yeah. It's not the type of impediment that it used to be.
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't say you could go out and sign 10 Albert Haynes.
And it's not just because, as we talked about yesterday.
It's one per year.
It's not as an impediment as it used to be, not just because it's gone up, but because teams have learned how to manage it better. I mean, when the salary cap first came instituted in 94, there were teams that were falling over their face.
Yeah,
they didn't
know what they were doing.
You know, so that's part of it, too, is teams have learned sure. how to deal with this thing. Now, you know, we laugh at when owners say, well, we don't know what the rules of the new CBA would. But to some extent, that is true. They're going to have to relearn some new things. And the ways they managed things before might, and they don't know, but might have to change a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that goes for the Patriots and every other team.
Sure.
So I don't laugh. I don't take it at, you know, as just a joke when they say, oh, we're not sure of the new rules. You know, I think that, you know, to some extent they are worried about that.
I got it lightly here.
Okay.
I think there's an element of worrying about.
You can't say that on the radio. If you whispered, it's okay.
I think there's an element of. That's a very convenient thing to say.
I know you do.
I think that if the CBA was
I know you do.
If the CBA was in full swing right now, do you think Vince Wilfork's situation would be any different? Because I don't.
I do. I think they would be at the negotiating table trying to do something. Yes, I do.
Well, you have told us that they tried to re-sign him. They gave him a fair offer.
They think they gave him a fair offer.
Right.
Yeah.
So
before the season.
So why?
I thought I gave the Lexus dealer a fair offer, too, yeah. And I have a Honda.
But back
no,
then,
no. But my point is, why did they give him a fair offer if they didn't know what the labor situation was going to be like in 2010? In 2010.
That's not what we made fun of you for, Paul.
You said 2010. I said 2010 one day, and the next day I said 2010, and got made fun of for that. Anyway,
because that would have started with this year, with this fiscal year. If the Patriots had signed that deal, if Wilfork had signed that deal. They were guaranteed.
Which one?
To accept the deal that they gave them. They were guaranteed to be under the cap. No problems. I think they would have had like $8 million left after Wilfork signed that deal. They would have been like number six in the league.
But they still wouldn't have known what the labor situation was going forward, correct?
But they would have that deal would start this year, not next year.
Okay. Regardless, they wouldn't have known what the labor situation was going forward. So if they signed him to, say, a five-year contract, four of those years would have been uncertain.
But were you
– So you're saying that the certainty of one year would have been making it okay to do it.
But what Wilfork is asking for might have – I don't know this, but maybe
– I'm not saying why they haven't signed him.
Right.
Obviously, Vince didn't accept the offer.
Right.
I'm saying that we're falling back on we haven't signed him because of the labor uncertainty. I'm saying then why then did we try to sign him to a contract that we wanted him
you
for?
You said that they didn't sign Wilfork because of the labor uncertainty.
No, you just said that.
I said a lot of teams might be worried about that.
And we laugh at it. And you said that some of us scoff at
but
that.
But that's not why in the
And I said I think that teams are using it as an excuse.
In the Wilfork case, he's asking for more than they want to pay. End of story, period.
Are you missing this? You can't – I'm not saying that the team should at all costs re-sign Vince Wilfork and should have already done it. I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm saying that part of the problem has been the labor uncertainty, yet we signed a guy. And we've heard the Patriots on the record several times, both Robert and Jonathan, saying the labor uncertainty going forward is a problem. Well, but yet we did offer him what we – perceived to be a fair long-term deal.
Well, the problem
So maybe it wasn't as much of a problem going forward as we're claiming
the
it.
The problem
That's
with
all.
Vince is if he had taken that deal and got his upfront money, they would have done it. But now this year, I'll bet you the focus is Tom Brady. It's not Vince Wilfork anymore.
But you're really confusing my issue here.
I'm not
criticizing
that,
them for not having the guy signed.
On top
I'm
of that,
criticizing for the reason they say he's not signed.
On top
signed.
Of that, don't be surprised after all is said and done, after this uncapped year and God willing, they get a deal done if the cap goes down.
Stunned.
You will be stunned.
Yep.
Okay, but don't –
What do
you
mean by
down? It won't be as high in real dollars
Lower.
As it is today.
No, I know, but I think it could go down. No, I think it could go down from whatever it was, 126 or whatever, to 124.3 or something.
I'm just saying it's not going to
– I don't think it's going to go back to 80.
No, I just don't think it's going up.
I'm not
up.
Saying that either. I'm not
I
saying
it's
going to
be in the ballpark within.
It's going to be right about what it is now.
Range.
I don't think it's going to go up big.
Right, which I think
it's
going to
be right about what it is now.
When you have teams end the year with $8 million in free cap space, that's irrelevant.
Yeah. Well, Don't be surprised if it goes
teams
down.
Didn't spend at the cap last year. I don't think it's going up.
Let's see. Sean writes in from Hazleton.
It'll be more than 120. I'll be stunned if it goes below 120. Stunned.
Okay. Me too.
Okay. And remember, this is 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Inflation and all that stuff.
Right.
Which means it'd probably be 130. But
with the owners having pocketed that billion-dollar check from DirecTV or whatever and all those stupid deals those TV networks signed.
Sean from Hazleton, from time to time in this doldrums of the offseason, I like to see debate between you guys on some topics, what we just did. I like to hear your take on two things. The so-called experts in Pat's Nation are now sounding that Scott Pioli is the reason for our failures in the 06 draft. With that in mind, I also heard that picks like Ben Watson were made because of Pioli and not the wishes of Belichick.
Too.
With that in mind, who do you think had more say, Bill Belichick or Scott Pioli?
Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
Belichick.
It's not more say. It's who had say.
But I saw something. I saw something recently that tied Watson specifically to Pioli, which I thought was very interesting.
Who wrote this?
I forget.
I
pulled an Andy.
At the end of the day.
I forget.
Local?
Local yokel?
I saw it on the net somewhere, so I don't know where it is.
At the end of the day, you know, Bill had final say.
Always.
So
yeah.
Bill has always had.
Always
and,
has.
You know, and they talked
will.
About, you know, when Pioli was here, they talked about when they had disagreements that they couldn't settle, they'd move on to the next thing, you know, and just get back to it at some point. So, they're admitting there were times that they were just diametrically opposed in a player. Doesn't sound like Watson was one of those times. You know, maybe he was, you know, Pioli was a big advocate of it. And maybe Belichick had another guy.
Especially if you're to believe what you just said.
Right,
if
right.
they were diametrically opposed,
they would
say
move on.
They would move on.
Right. Right.
So obviously, if
they didn't move
maybe,
on.
Maybe Pioli was higher on him, but right. Bill liked him.
Right.
Enough to say, yeah, let's take him.
Yeah, as much as, you know, it's fun to bash Pioli, I don't think that, I'm not into that.
Walking around in the practice
whoa, you're not
Andy?
Into bashing Pioli?
Andy,
no, but as far as
he walk around on
as
the practice
far as
field?
Picking
chest
players,
held high.
As far as picking players, I think that, you know, they were all in on it.
Gets me every
I think,
time.
You know, what's his name? Ernie Adams has a say. You know,
right.
I think
and only one say matters.
At the end of the day, Belichick says, okay, this is what I'm doing.
So for every great draft and draft pick, you say Bill Belichick.
You know,
and for
every
bad,
bad
one,
pick, you say Bill Belichick.
Right.
And I know it's a much less serious.
Vollmer was picked by Belichick. Brace was picked by Belichick.
So right.
It was a much less serious issue, but I don't know, Freddie, if you saw one of the writers locally out of the Senior Bowl had a little notebook item talking about
Ian Rappaport.
I don't remember. I don't remember if it was the Globe or the Herald. I think it was the Herald, so it must have been Ian.
The rap sheet.
Are both of them out there? Both the papers are out there?
Bert Breer?
Yeah.
We're confusing Paul. He's like, just distracted.
Well, that social
comments.
Networking thing that we were talking about earlier. The Patriots have met with several players, and they've talked about how they frown upon the social network, the Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. And one of the quotes, I think, one of the players said that
Sean Witherspoon.
John Robinson, you know, the director of college scouting, made a comment to him that, you know, we have one voice in our organization, and that's Bill Belichick.
Right.
That
was Eric's got his notes if you want him to go
that
to
was the specific quote.
Yep.
I know it's a much simpler issue, the social networking thing, but that holds true for everything.
Right, right.
Who are we drafting? There's one voice in this
that's
organization.
Right. That's
you
right.
guys all give input. Bill Belichick is
and
the
you know
guy
where
who
Belichick learned that from?
Parcells.
That's right. And Parcells probably learned it from
Bud
Wilson. Somebody else.
But Parcells never had the opportunity to do what Belichick is doing in terms of picking everything, picking the
what about
team.
The Giants? Oh, no, because that was George Young, right?
Yeah, no.
He hated George Young.
No, grocery right? shopping over there.
Well, when we went to the Jets, that was different. I'm talking about here.
Oh, okay.
I was talking about as a Patriots coach.
Right.
Let's see. And he didn't have it in the Cowboys either because Jerry Jones is
now. That was why he left.
Yeah. Quick side note.
Dinner,
well, I think he would have left anyway because that's his nature.
Well, he only got a chance to do it with the Jets, really, the way he wanted to do it. And now I assume he's doing some of that in Miami.
I would hope so. I hope he's not listening to J-Lo and Mark Anthony.
Well, they're out, aren't they? Are they still in?
Who cares? Number two.
Wait, I got a side note.
What?
Christ sakes.
Who cares?
The guy you first heard about here, Vladimir Dukhasi.
Yes,
the UMass.
He's now being written about by everybody.
By everybody, right. But also is working out at left tackle at the Senior Bowl. He's considered a guard, but is showing his versatility by working out at left tackle.
There's that V word.
Versatility and value.
Oh. Versatility. I was like, Vladimir? Why is that notable?
Versatility and value.
Versatility.
So he could be versatility.
Mike Mayock.
But if he proves elite versatility, his value won't be as good because he could be a first-round pick. And we won't get him in the second.
Patriots could draft a 150-pound sack of horse bleep, and Mike Mayock would say, There's a lot of versatility there. They can use That's him true. Out on the practice field. So they have grass practice fields in Foxborough. They can use that sack of horse bleep to maybe fertilize a little bit.
Like
a lot of value there.
He's proud of you for saying bleep.
I know. A lot of value there.
Usually you just say poop bum.
Right.
Number two says, Sean, after next week we enter in uncharted waters in the future of the number one sport in America. With that in mind, if we go into an uncapped year and head to a possible no football in 2011, or should I say 2011?
Is it just say 11
or uncharted?
You just have to say 11, Fred.
I can't say 2011.
You can, but you
can say 2011.
If you
want
to just use the number, you just say 11.
That's a way that that's acceptable to them.
Okay.
That is correct.
Would it be because a DeMarcus Smith is not the leader owners wanted? He has
Fred
DeMarcus.
Just calls him Morris.
I know, it's wrong. It's DeMaurice.
And is more of a headbutter than Gene Upshaw, or that the owners feel cheated in the deal that they signed and want to kill the golden goose that is the NFL and will do anything, even give up football, to do that.
Neither.
They don't want to kill the league,
well,
obviously.
D. Smith is definitely more of a headbutter than,
sure,
right, than but Gene Upshaw, but then again, so is Fred. I mean, Fred's much more willing to create waves than Gene Upshaw.
As we see in the office all the time.
Gene Upshaw did pretty well by the players, as much as they hate.
Did better by
that.
Gene Upshaw.
He did much better by himself and by Paul Tagliabue, and it's no surprise, no coincidence, that Paul Tagliabue's name was removed from the finalists of the Hall of Fame.
Oh, was it?
Thank God.
Yes. Really?
Because of that, most people speculate because of that 2006 CBA that he pushed in. Before he was done, that was a disaster.
Interesting. Let's see. Zach in Syracuse. We all know the problems facing the Patriots, the pass rush, third receiver, running back upgrade, leadership. My question is what the Patriots will do to address the leadership problem, especially on defense. You look at guys like Keith Brooking, Ray Lewis, Brian Dawkins, and how they get their team so fired up, and that is the guy that the Patriots don't have. Brady, Falk, and Sanders have their roles, but there doesn't seem to be that guy who really gets the team motivated and fired up. Is this something that the Patriots can address through free agency? That is,
Sanders.
Is it a quality that they will look for in free agents? If not, how do they fix this problem? Because it absolutely needs to be fixed. Thanks, guys, and keep up the great work.
It's a quality they look for in free agents. The name Jason Taylor already being thrown around again, and I think they would lean
really?
On him for some of that. Well, Freddie, you don't have it internally.
I know, but
and
that,
draft
that's
it,
the guy?
You don't draft it. So if you bring in a free agent in, it has to be a high-caliber type guy.
I agree with that. But, like, for example, Brian Dawkins, I think, would have been great.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You know, that's the kind of guy I'm looking for that can still do some things.
Jason Taylor never struck me as one of those real inspirational kind
of
leaders.
I agree. Super inspirational, but he's a leader.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Never really struck me that way.
I think they have leaders like that. Or have had in the past, but they had won with those guys.
Right.
There weren't a lot of Rodney Harrisons or Teddy Brucey's who will yell at you if you're not doing it right. Most of them are lead by example type of guys.
Right, and those kind of guys, you know, the real authentic ones like Harrison, they're hard to find, you know.
Right, and when they were winning, it wasn't a problem.
And I'm not looking for
If they were winning with these guys who were lead by example types, this wouldn't be an issue.
Right.
Yeah, no, but the question is, if they had a lead-by-example type, would they be winning more?
Right, and that's, I think, one of the reasons they brought in Seau, and it didn't work. You know?
Maybe it did work.
Yeah, maybe it
kept
maybe
it helped
the
keep
volcano
them together.
From erupting.
You're right.
Maybe the volcano simmered.
True. Maybe I don't know that. You're right. It could have been. But, you know, as far as our expectations, it didn't, you know.
Well, I don't know. I think they avoided an eruption.
Sorry, Sean.
Well, that would be for reasons we weren't even aware of. You know,
but the point is,
if they were that close to fault, you know,
maybe they went 10-6, maybe without some well-placed leadership
right.
in the locker room that
be.
We don't know about.
Right.
They may have
gone 7-8.
That's true.
Yeah, 7-9.
Lose to the Panthers, lose to the Jags or something.
And so we don't know. We'll have to wait for the book.
What book?
I don't know.
We should add, we talked about on Tuesday, Matt Light's ESPN rounds that he made. Sean Springs made them and said that he's pondering retirement and going
and
back to law school.
He's sort of
immediately backtracked.
He backtracked almost immediately.
Was caught off guard by the question. Kind of treated as, you know how I always say if you ask a question and they start with yeah, it means they agreed with your premise, even sometimes when they go on to not agree with your premise.
So the part about
him
going back
to
law school was?
He's not really considering, yeah.
Okay.
He was basically saying what his options would be.
I didn't hear it, so I just
no, I haven't heard
it
yet. I read the comments he followed up with the Globe. The Globe called him, and he said, yeah, I didn't really mean that was – he was caught off guard and blah, blah, blah. So he didn't mean to say it.
I don't think he'll be back.
And then Light. Really?
Yeah,
Light.
But I don't think it's because he's going to announce his retirement.
Oh, no, I didn't think there was any chance he wouldn't be back until, yeah, I think Bill.
Oh, really?
Bill sees retirement in sentences. I don't think he likes that.
Light apparently had a dislocated kneecap during the season that he was battling through.
Yeah, we talked about that on Tuesday when you took the show off.
Okay, assuming Springs isn't back using your
you need
theory.
Now you need two corners.
Well, everybody says they got some nice developing, a nice developing secondary. Well,
now you're in trouble.
Lee Bodden's gone, in my opinion.
That's why I brought it up.
Sean Springs is gone, if Paul's right. And Darius Butler, sure, he's a nice development, but
that's why I brought
he goes out there 16 straight games. You might not think he's developing quite as nice.
Mm. You
and you have veterans
veteran
guys
corner.
At safety aside from Chung. You know what you have in McGowan, Sanders, and Merriweather. Well, where did all this developing come from? I'm not sure your secondary is as good as we think it is.
Yeah, and well, I don't think it's very
well,
good.
Well, it isn't if you don't have a couple of veterans.
I think if Bodden's back and Butler is your starter opposite him,
but
I don't think
that's going to happen. I don't think Bodden is back.
I mean, he might be.
See, I just go by track record here. When a guy reaches unrestricted free agency, I assume he's gone.
I do, too, this year because I think he's going to get paid.
Well, that's
he had a decent year.
I'm not talking about, you know, the Nick Cashers of the world. I mean,
which
I'm
is why I don't
guy who's going to get a
decent year, but not a break the bank year.
Yeah,
but I think break the bank is easier in this year, the uncapped year, and there's not veteran corners to go around.
Yeah, I think
he picked off what? Four passes?
At least five.
So
five passes, which is a decent number to have next to your name, and he was on a playoff team. He started every game but one or two. I mean, he was a starter.
When he got benched.
Yeah, when he got benched for no reason.
For talking after the Denver game.
Could be.
But I think he's going to get paid.
He's not great, but... I do, too.
Every year we see these corners that we think are Jags, Dominic Foxworth and Fabian Washington, guys that Ravens signed. You don't think the Ravens
think
would take
Lee
Bodden?
I think you need a veteran cornerback.
Jets wouldn't take Lee Bodden opposite Darryl
Revis.
To
be in that lineup.
Darryl Darrell thing.
All right, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On it right now is Anthony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. How you guys doing?
Great.
Great. We had the best lunch ever. You can top it if you want next week.
You did. I'm courting some women right now, so that's where my funds are going right now, guys.
Courting some women?
Some. More than one?
What are you, Tiger?
No, but you know what I mean. You got to keep those funds available.
I hear you, bro.
Well, Miami's quite a bit of a drive, so it takes me about an hour and a half to get over there.
Oh, that's where you're courting women, in Miami?
Oh, yeah. There's a much vaster pool over there, which is nice.
And you're a pool guy, so
South
it's
Beach.
Good.
I know. Did you like that? You like how I put
did.
That in?
Have you ever run into Wes Welker and Miss Hooters girl there?
No, I have run into Vander Jack's little brother. He's a douchebag just like Vander Jack.
That's a great story.
I really did.
Is he a player? Is he like a college player?
No,
or is
he actually works out at my gym.
He's a drunken kick his brother.
Oh. What's that?
Drunken kick his brother.
I don't know. He looks like a douchebag, you know, just like he apparently like rides his brother's coattails, and apparently his brother is a douche anyway, too.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, they stiff a lot of people down here, too, which is actually funny. But I guess I shouldn't get into that. But anyways.
I'm okay. We're not stopping you.
Oh, well, actually, the family owns a house over here on Marco Island, and they've been known to stiff some people. As in with, like, service problems or anything else like that, which is quite fascinating. But anyway, so apparently the whole family's like that.
Well, the apple doesn't fall far.
Exactly. But anyways, forget that guy. But, you know, what I was just thinking about, you guys were talking about coaching and whatnot. Why haven't they made a decision yet with the defensive coordinator? And where do you feel like it should go? What's the linebacker's coach there?
Matt Patricia. How do you know they haven't made a decision?
They haven't announced it.
They never
made it. They didn't announce anything last year either.
But I'll answer your question.
You guys have some info. You're not giving up.
No, I'm just saying they could not announce it and start the season with no announcement.
Right,
they,
like,
there'll
like
be somebody who's
year.
Calling plays on defense
exactly.
and on offense.
But
the other day, Wilford just was petitioning for obviously for Pepper
Money?
Johnson. Oh. So,
but
well, that too.
Anthony, to answer your question, it's possible also. That they're considering changing their philosophy on defense, and maybe they're trying to decide. They took about 10 days off, the coaching staff, the last couple of weeks. They took some time off. Now they're back. It could still be that they're considering what they want to do on defense and whether or not they want to hire internally or go look outside for somebody. I wouldn't necessarily be in a rush to make that decision right now. I think they need to analyze what they've done over the past few years and whether or not that's worth, keeping – the staff together the way it is, or shaking it up by bringing somebody else from outside. And like Andy said, they could make a decision and not even announce it.
The only way they'll announce it is if it's an outsider who's a veteran guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, a Jim Bates or Mike Nolan.
Or they could sneak in, you know, when they make a bunch of transactions and just say, you know, personnel moves, you know, like last year when they had Floyd Reese and Casario had
his
announcement.
Maybe they're waiting to see who they get in the draft, and if it's, hey, this is going to be 4-3, we're going to bring in a 4-3 coordinator.
I doubt that very much.
I don't know if they'll wait
that long.
You're
going to decide in May what you're going to be on defense?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think they're going to wait that long. But I don't.
You have a rookie minicamp the next week.
Yeah. It's not even February yet. And, you know, the Super Bowl's not even been played yet. I think, you know, before the combine gets here, they'll probably have made a decision. Whether or not they tell us is a different story. But
yeah, I think the decision's been made. I don't know what it is, but I think they've decided whatever they're going to do on defense is done.
Don't use Wilfork as an example because, A, he's not on the team right now.
Right.
His contract ran out. He may never be on the team again for all we know.
And he's not
and
here
B,
physically.
They don't communicate. They don't tell people anything. They don't tell them one bit. I mean, how many times in the locker room do you hear that they don't tell us anything? I find out when you guys find out. I find out on game day. I find out on this day.
Yep.
They don't communicate. That's not what they do. They don't believe in communication.
It's need to know. Yeah. Need to know basis.
Well, can I actually point on that Wilfork front? And actually, I'm not taking a Fred Kirsch angle here, and I'm trying to bash the guy out the door. That's not what I'm doing.
Did I do that?
Not yet.
With him or with a player?
Not yet.
Yeah.
In your defense, not yet.
Not yet. Now, just in general, Fred, you're like that, okay, guy? But
okay,
guy. All right, guy.
Like I'm going to bash you off the phone.
But here's my thing with Vince Wilfork. My biggest problem with him, yes, he's a big dude. I just don't like his, like, not to sound gay, but I just don't like his body type, if that makes sense.
It sounds gay.
I have the same kind of concerns. If you remember last year in the offseason, before the Seymour trade, I actually advocated re-signing Seymour ahead of Wilfork. Because of that very reason. I think Seymour is more apt to be around playing at a reasonably high level 4 or 5 years from now than Wilfork is.
And if you remember about 2 years ago, PFW swore never again to follow all the cows in the herd and write the story that he worked out in the offseason and redistributed his weight because he always looks like the same big-bellied fat bastard every year.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
I'll go with
talked about
fat
that
boy because he wears
fat
shirts
boy,
that say fat boy on him, B-O-I.
B-O-I.
He's a fat boy.
Boy!
Yeah, it's not a good weight to have. Like, yeah, he's doing the job right now. He's not really been hurt. But right now, at this period, with all the wear and tear and eight years playing.
Right.
You know,
and
really
look at the guys around the league: Jamal Williams, Chris Jenkins, Casey Hampton. All of those guys have been hurt.
Yeah,
and that's the body type you're dealing with. Kelly
and
Gregg.
You can't fault the Pats for trying to franchise. I know they're going to franchise him.
As they
you
should.
You have to franchise him. Mm-hmm. And then you get another year's worth out of him. You got to be cautious. And then maybe next year, hey, whatever, you let him go. But hopefully you get his replacement in the meantime. You know, I don't fault the Patriots for looking this way. You know, yes, he's a good guy. He works hard. But it's just, man, oh, man. You know, what is he, 6'2", 375? It's not a good weight, man.
It isn't. And it's proven medically that the belly weight is the worst kind of weight to have. Not for football, but for kill you, for die. But the other thing you said, Strippers,
more diseases come from that, yep.
You take the 1 year of the franchise, and then, God forbid, there's a lockout. Now you're 2 years removed. And that's a possibility that he's getting older, whether there's football being played or not, that 0-11 season. So
it's 2011.
I think you franchise him, you see what happens in 11, and you take it from there.
Yeah, and I truly believe, like, especially where the Patriots, it seems like they're going more towards the 4-3 front, it's easier to replace them, to get that philosophy, it's easier to replace them in that manner than it would be if they were always a 3-4 front. I can understand them trying to keep them in that manner. It just makes sense for them not to go with a long-term contract. That's just how I feel about it.
I agree, and I think most people agree. If you look at it objectively, except for Vince Wilfork, his wife, his agent,
for Wilfork, but I can understand the team side of this one.
Which is why he probably should have forced their hand last summer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I know my time is running out, guys. I feel like Fred's going to say,
All right.
Guy. All right.
All right, guy.
Luckily, this time of year, there's not going to be a lot of phone calls, so I can actually get through.
All right.
Take it easy.
All right, Anthony.
All right.
Good luck with the courting.
Anthony.
Sounds like a word Eric would use.
Says I'm
courting
that kind
a couple
of guy.
Ladies.
Let's see. Sarah writes
ladies,
in.
Word. Yes, thanks for Sarah being a normal person.
Sarah writes in. She says, just out of curiosity.
Sarah, who's this?
I don't know.
You know, she's written in before.
Has she?
Yeah.
Eric knows all the women who write in.
Has she sent a photo?
She's got a list.
No, she's the one that never sent the photo.
Sarah, send a damn photo. We'll start to think you're ugly.
Just out of curiosity, she says, who in the Patriots organization is B-Lo related to?
Ooh.
Wow.
Shot at
B-Lo. What did B-Lo ever
gonna
do
take
to you?
I'm going to take back the shot I just took at Sarah. I was just kidding, because that was a funny line.
Sarah, you're the best guy in the world. Emailer who's a woman who's never sent a photo we've ever had.
I loved Eric's bully story. I was laughing the whole time picturing the scene from A Christmas Story
exactly.
where little Ralphie
That's
snaps
what they were saying
and pummels a bully. Hilarious. Why, does that happen to you? You pummeled a bully?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Told the story three or four times. Nice of you to care
times.
And listen.
How old was she?
Good, Fred. Good.
No, it was actually a guy who was 3 years older than him.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? The one in the wheelchair?
He must have been, he must have been one tough SOB.
The one in the wheelchair. Can I have a piece of gum?
No.
Oh.
It takes a special
kind of
guy.
Not after that comment.
Eric, will you share your gum?
It takes a special kind of guy to take a rocket shot at someone and then ask him for a favor.
That's something I would do.
He knows I'm just kidding. Seriously, though, how much money does the home team make for hosting a playoff game? Other than New Orleans, the Patriots were a playmaker or two from winning all their games. If they keep those guys on their roster or sign a big-name free agent and are able to win the Indy game and a couple more of those close games they have this year, how much of that money would they recoup by hosting the conference championship game? It seems to me like the income from another home playoff game and tens of thousands of other at Patriot Place would go a long way toward covering the cost of signing a great player.
I have no idea what the money is.
I assume Fred was going to talk here. He's the business guy on
the money involved for you know advancing rounds. Yeah, I know that's money, but you know that's not the difference between signing a player.
No, it isn't. And you know, just for some people, because I've heard this before. Oh, they got Patriot Place. They're making all this money from Patriot Place. First of all, they're not.
Actually, that's the side I've heard on Patriots. But people think it's an anchor, an albatross.
The economy is not good. Second of all, if they were, that is a completely separate business. It has to be. The IRS would never allow monies from that to be used in the league and
the IRS.
The IRS and the league. It's completely separate.
Not to mention the NFL.
The NFL too wouldn't allow that.
No, the NFL. It's
a. Wait a minute. Why wouldn't the IRS allow the crafts to make money on Patriot Place and spend it in the NFL?
Well, they could put it in their own pocket, but there can be – it's not – has nothing to do with the operation of Patriot Place. Has nothing to do with the operation of the New England Patriots.
But it's craft-owned and operated.
It's their personal.
Right. It's not a public corporation that there would be some sort of limitations put upon.
It's the personal. It's the personal. The crafts and the other owners make all the money they need to spend on players. It's not like – you know, it's the other things that they have problems with is stadiums and
plus,
you know,
they wouldn't make money per se from having more people in Patriot Place, would they? I mean, the stores are businesses that rent out space and have leases.
Right.
If Old Navy makes 1,000 more on some weekend, they don't hand 1,000 to the crafts, do they?
Some of these leases are performance based.
Oh,
yeah,
that's not good.
That's a big thing in strip malls and malls.
Really?
Yeah.
Strip malls.
So.
Oh, strippers beat me in a bet this year. I have to acknowledge it on the air. If you remember early in the year, he asked, we had a bet about which tight end would have more touchdowns, Baker or Watson. I chose Baker mistakenly. He didn't. He had two. Watson had five.
Five.
So I got beat 5-2 by strippers. Strippers, you are the man.
What do you owe him?
And this is Andy Hart for VIP Strippers. When I need a good stripper, I call VIP Strippers. Check them out at VIPStrippers.com, I assume.
That was a pretty good read.
Now we're giving stripping service drop-ins.
Testimonials.
Well, I had to. I lost the bet, Fred. If I had won, we would have had lunch.
And in typical Andy Hart fashion, what reminded him of that when you mentioned the term strip mall?
Right.
You want me to go to the other strip I said the other day?
Is it a landing strip mall?
Unbelievable.
He asks if we want him to go there, and then he doesn't wait for
the
answer.
You know I'm
going
to go there either way. It still bothers me that Tom Brady was the coin toss guy at the Super Bowl for the Steelers and Seahawks.
Why?
I agree. I totally agree with you.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the Super Bowl they brought all of the
yes,
MVPs,
all the MVPs,
all Super
right.
Bowl MVPs back? Wasn't he the most recent one?
Yes. I'd rather have the other 41 candidates.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or 38. Or
wasn't Deion Branch the MVP for 39?
Oh, maybe he was.
Maybe he was. Yeah,
know.
Probably.
Why are you throwing stuff at me? I don't know then why they picked Brady. I just assumed that Brady
that
was
wouldn't
the most
bother you.
One.
I don't like it.
It bothered me at the time, too.
See, Fred,
I thought it was a little bizarre.
Fred,
because he could have easily been playing in the game.
Right. If it was
an Indianapolis Colts,
yeah,
Fred, they would have had no problem with it.
I just said
anything but Patriots.
Anything, Fred. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. Not an active player. The team is irrelevant. The active nature is relevant.
Okay, whatever excuse you want to make.
I thought it was
quite
an honor
for Rivers this year.
I thought it was quite an honor.
I love the Patriots
for Tom Brady.
Michael,
I still think Tom Brady is great. Earlier in this show, you said that
Peyton
Manning was the only guy who could have taken apart the Jets' defense like that. I believe Tom Brady is still capable of that. I still follow and support Tom Brady as the leader of the New England Patriots. Yeah. You believe Peyton Manning is the best ever.
Cue up the national anthem. He's on a roll.
Yeah, Obama. Liar!
Michael writes it.
Oh, apparently one of the Supreme Court justices, I think it was
liar?
Alito, he sort of mouthed it. And he's caught on camera saying it when Obama took the shot at the
Supreme Court.
How dumb
are these people in this day and age?
My favorite guy
is anything that you do
the
like
yawns.
That is going to get caught now.
I think he said, like, yawns. It looked like he said,
oh,
not true.
I thought you were doing
not
something
true.
Else with that.
Oh.
Jesus, get your mind out of...
Wow. You just went like this.
We're on radio, Paul, so you'll have to describe
that's
it.
That's okay.
Right. I think if you were on TV, I wouldn't have had to have done that.
Michael writes, and I wondered if you could answer my queries below relating to the QB.
Eric?
To the QB identifying the Mike linebacker prior to the snap. One, does every quarterback and every team do it prior to each snap? I can hear Brady do it every time I hear the audio during the game.
A lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah,
do that.
I don't know if it's every single one, but I would venture to guess it is.
Number 55 is the mic.
Two.
You're mocking Brady. Not only do you think he can't play anymore, you're mocking him.
As I understand it,
I still like him. I'd still let him be my quarterback any day.
As I understand it, identifying the Mike or middle linebacker helps the offensive line plan their blocking assignments. Is this correct?
Yes.
And
yes.
Can you elaborate? Well, you know, one question I did have about that, what if you're wrong?
Well,
that happens.
Yeah.
Well, there is no right or wrong, though.
No.
You base it on what you see. It's making sure everybody is using him as their anchor point
so
of what they're doing.
Use that guy.
I mean, you can be wrong and it won't work out well, but as long as everybody's wrong, all five to seven guys are wrong the same.
That's actually pretty much word for word what Dan Copen said one day.
Yeah. Right after the game.
Did he tell you to scrape to see?
He didn't tell me.
Run to, scrape to see, run away.
He didn't tell me anything about scraping to see or anything like that. But
how would he get to the C-gap? I mean, he's got A-gaps. Both sides.
Yeah, it just doesn't
make sense at all.
Three, isn't it obvious who the Mike linebacker is?
No.
It may be Ray Lewis or Patrick Willis or Jared Mayo.
But it's okay to call him Rodney, but don't call him Jared.
Right. But it surely is.
He rolls his eyes at that.
But
one letter off is terrible. Whole word off is okay.
But it surely is never a Dalis Thomas if he's even on the field, Terrell Suggs or DeMarcus Ware. So why does it need to be done?
Well, it's not always, as our friend Andre Tippett explained to us one afternoon at our cubes, it's not always that they're pointing out the Mike linebacker.
Yeah. He's actually got nothing to
he
do
was
with
talking
the Mike
to your
linebacker.
Cubes?
Yeah, it's not the position that they're pointing out. It's the player.
Did he demonstrate
they're
blocking?
Setting
you
the middle
no,
of the
No, he's
front.
Not John Hanna.
They are setting
and yes, it can be Terrell Suggs or Adalis Thomas or whoever. In a safety.
How he worked a shot at Adalis Thomas in there in a question.
I did like that. But it can't
in a base
it can legitimately
defense,
be anybody.
A base 4-3, the mic would be the mic.
Right.
You would point to the mic and say that. But it's never a base 4-3. It's blitzes, it's safeties,
it's
corners.
Depending on where guys are lined up.
Especially use like something like the Patriots scheme that they use late in the season with all the guys standing up. That could legitimately have been anybody,
right?
They're walking around. They're all standing. I mean, you could identify anybody.
I don't know who the Mike is. Yell that out.
Well, that evidently happened to Ryan Fitzpatrick in Buffalo.
And Richie Incognito said, I agree. I don't either.
Andrew in the Ukraine says, I have a trade scenario.
Love him.
I don't know if this is equal value, but here it goes.
Probably
if Kansas
not.
City was willing to get closer to want Will, to what not. Wilfork wants, could we package that with Matt Light for their first and a third? If it did happen, what would you do with the first rounder? Stay at number 5 or trade down? Also, how many times has Belichick traded down in the first round? I think people are over-concerned about something that won't happen. I remember in 08, the general feeling was Belichick never goes for an inside linebacker in the first round, so don't even think about it. And when we saw how that turned out.
If they stayed at
average
5,
middle linebacker.
If they got Kansas City's number 5 overall, I'd stay there.
I can't see Pioli trading away that.
I would stay there, too.
I also,
but I couldn't see them.
This
doing
gets
that,
back sure. to haven't they drafted a number of defensive tackles over the last couple of years, Paul?
Yes, they signed the kid from LSU last year. that was supposed to be
Jackson.
Good, yeah, and he wasn't. And he didn't.
I believe, but I've
and
two
before
straight
that,
years.
They
got two big bodies.
Yeah. What's the guy's name?
Oh, by the way, Josh tells us that Eli Manning is doing the coin toss for the
son
Super Bowl this year.
Now it's not only an active player, it's a brother of a guy that the NFL is stupid.
All right, let's take a break.
I agree with Bill Polian. The NFL's stupid.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel. Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
I was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Is it gone?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Atta-Bitty-Terry!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
Richard, this is going to sound like a deep question, but
I doubt it coming from you.
Are we going to see real-world economics kind of get into the game of football and in any way limit the finances of football? I mean, it's hard to say this year with Albert Haynesworth getting potentially $100 million. But, I mean, have you thought about that at all or had any discussions with your representatives?
We're going to bring in the stimulus package. We're going to stimulate the economy. So with all the stimulus going on, I'm sure it'll be enough for us for the primetime players out there.
There we go.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, no questions.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
And the next thing he knew, he was in Oakland.
That's correct.
Yeah, true that.
He got stimulated. Let's see. Alejandro from Bogota writes in.
Hola.
I have 3 questions after watching the unfolding of the Colts-Jets playoff game. 1, is it normal to hate the Colts more than the Jets?
No. Understandable, though.
Yeah, it's understandable.
He says no. It's just like, you can hate who you want to hate.
Yeah, exactly.
Hate is a personal.
Yeah, I mean, after a while.
You're the one rooted for the Jets.
Sure.
I mean, if the Jets start beating the Patriots regularly, we'll hate them. But I can understand lately the Colts would earn more hate than the Jets. But, we'll see what happens.
Did you see Rex Ryan's comments?
I hate the Jets more.
What's that?
You see Rex Ryan's comments on whether they were the team to beat?
Who, the Colts?
Jets in the AFC East.
Whether the Patriots.
Oh,
the
you mean going forward?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see that. No.
His response was, do the Patriots still have Tom Brady? The answer was yes. They're still the team to beat.
Oh, that's the first thing he said that was true. Made any sense. I don't have any problem with Rex Ryan. I really don't.
You don't?
Care less. No, I don't.
Wow. Surprised.
I don't now either. Now that we've run the course on that playoff thing.
He's just like a clown.
See, I've maintained that all along. I think he's a breath of fresh air. Now, whether or not he can coach, we'll find out. Yeah. I mean, he certainly did a pretty good job in the playoffs. But
yeah, I just don't get offended with what he says.
Yeah,
like a guy like Bill Polian says. You know, when Polian says stuff, you know that there's like meanness to
it. I don't get offended by a lot of
the Chad Johnson, the Chad Ochocinco of coaches. That's right.
Yeah, Chad.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think Polian, there's an air of condescension
and arrogance
that bothers me.
Yeah.
You don't think with Polian?
You don't get that air about 100 yards down this tunnel in the media workroom?
Really? You're really asking me that question?
Around Polian, it's a putrid air of stale fart. You know, with Polian.
Putrid air of stale fart. It's like my bed every morning.
Andy's wondering if I get that feeling down the
air of disc.
Maybe you don't know me at all.
Number two, after watching Manning put on a clinic on the NFL number one defense, does it give Belichick a little leeway on his controversial 4th-and-2 decision? No.
See, I've seen that a lot. And we were talking about that a little bit on the radio yesterday, and I don't really understand that. We all know that Peyton Manning is a great quarterback who's capable of leading drives.
Right.
I don't understand why. I mean, if you thought that, you should go for every fourth down during the whole course of the game. You should never punt. Because the assumption is that Peyton Manning's going to take the ball from wherever it is and go down and score. So why not try your best to score every time? Take all four downs to try to score every time you have the ball.
Because the 40% or whatever chance of getting the fourth down is better than the 100% chance that he's going to drive it down
your
throat.
Because to go for it on 4th-and-2 from that area of the football field is to assume that the other guy is going to score, right?
Right.
So, unless you just think we're going to make it. You know.
Exactly. So go for a fourth down every time. Yeah. Because I'm assuming the other guy is going to score. So I got to assume I can make my fourth down. I have to match point for point with Peyton Manning. I don't quite understand that.
We can't stop him, so we can't let them stop us.
We can't let them stop us.
The Jets are a trendy pick to be a contender next year. It reminds me of the 98 Jets, who looked poised to win it all in 99, only to have Testaverde go down on opening day against the Pats. I remember that. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what do you remember about both teams? I remember the Patriots started 6-2, the Jets 2-6, but both finished 8-8.
Correct. You just said that's what I remember about those.
I remember
Parcells went 8-8 with Ray Lucas as his quarterback. A truly remarkable.
Obviously, we were at that game, and Testaverde just dropped back and then dropped down because his Achilles tendon burst.
Making a handoff, I think.
Yeah, no one hit him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that was Carroll's last year. You know,
the Patriots were 6-2 and should have been 8-0. They blew a late lead against Miami to lose 31-30 here in Foxborough. And Adam Vinatieri missed a 32-yard field goal in the last play of the game in Kansas City to lose the game 16-14. They should have been 8-0. Oh. And then they ended up going 2-6 down the stretch.
TG and NJ, was that the Paradise?
The year Ben Coat? No.
Was that the Mosh Pit year?
No.
No, that was the year
earlier.
Before?
That was 2 years earlier.
Yeah.
That was Carroll's first year was the Mosh Pit year?
Mm-hmm. 97. It was before the Tampa Bay game in 97. 27-7 loss.
Loser.
Wow.
TG and NJ, but when you ask him a question.
Right, when you ask him a specific question, I don't know, you might want to check Media Guide.
Well, what
he just doesn't want to answer.
How many yards something had? I don't know that. Shane used to know that stuff off the top of his head.
TG and NJ, today's big question, Will Fork or no Will Fork in 2010? And Paulie, you are right. You and Andy will never get a gig because of his puerile sense of humor. Too bad, funny stuff at times. Guess it's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Puerile.
Who's this?
Childish.
TG and NJ.
Is he taking a
good
shot
word.
At me?
Good word, TG.
No, I think he's saying that you are actually funny sometimes, but that is the reason that we will not get a gig.
I'll keep what I was just going to say to myself.
Sam in Pittsburgh.
His mother liking my taste.
And that's another reason. Now, that was truly funny, however.
I'm glad you kept it to yourself,
Andy. That's another reason why
we won't
get a gig.
That's true.
That's the kind of stuff that doesn't play.
And our agent is not doing a good job selling us.
That doesn't play in the mainstream media.
The Will Fork or no Will Fork in 2010,
is completely up to Vince Wilfork, in my mind. He's going to be franchised, so they're going to expect him to show up. Whether he does or doesn't is all up to him.
He'll show up at training camp.
But will he show up with extra money? Will he get a, can you bonus a guy with, in a franchise?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think you can either. It doesn't smell right. using my sniff test of the other things.
Sam in Pittsburgh, what up, douchers? Obviously, our greatest need going into the season is finding a good pass rusher. Elvis Dumervil is a restricted free agent. Do you believe he is worth the big contract and first and third round pick compensation?
No.
And since the Pats do not have a third round pick this year, what happens if they sign him?
Can't.
They can't.
You'd have to get one first. And we've seen Bill do that, make trades specifically to get a pick. But, yeah, you must have the... Is it penalty compensation
in that
to sign an RFA
upcoming draft,
which is another issue we were discussing about all these RFAs. You can't just willy nilly go sign seven of them because you don't have the compensation. They're all overlapping. You got to pick the RFA you really want to put in a tender offer for.
Right. Plus,
a tender offer.
It's a time constraints too. It's a time consuming process. The offer sheet, the week to match, and all that stuff. And I also think it'll be harder, like you said, that Bill has done that in the past. He's acquired a pick specifically. I think it'll be harder to do that at this time of year than it was in the summer because the draft is closer. The offseason is here. Teams are going to be more apt to hold on to their picks heading into, especially for what Andy just said, you need third-round picks if you're going to sign free agent tenders, restricted free agent tenders.
No for Dumervil.
No. Not worth the first and the third.
No. If you're going to go get somebody, go get Peppers. Don't be boring. Go for the top.
Short but simple.
On the all-decade team, Paul. Do you know that, Fred? They're announcing an all-decade team Sunday?
Yeah.
53-man roster, which means they, your word, out because they didn't have to pick a quarterback. So apparently Brady and Manning will be on it.
Right.
That's terrible. That is a wuss out. Pick one.
It's a good idea, though.
No, it isn't.
53-man roster.
I don't think it's
stupid.
No? I said if they wanted to really do
it's different.
Unless you're going to really
they should
do
pick
it.
The best backup quarterback of the decade.
Oh, okay. And the best, fourth receiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
the fourth can't be Randy Moss. I want the fourth receiver to be
too much subjectivity there.
Exactly.
Right, which
is
why you just name a team, which is 99 out of 100 of these teams have a quarterback, a running back, a blah blah blah.
Two
blah,
running
blah, blah.
Backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, five
they
offensive.
They wussed out. Oh, we're going to include more people. Everybody's got to win. When this become Little League?
Roster.
Wow.
Why don't they give them all a trophy?
It's the wussification of the world.
When's the NFL banquet where they all get a trophy?
Right.
Wow.
They all play T-ball at the end of the season.
Have you heard Tony Maserati on that soundbite they have on him? Who invented the idea everybody gets a medal? I'll tell you who. The parent of a terrible kid. It's true.
But when you were growing up, well, that's not, we're not exactly contemporaries. Fred, when you were growing up and you played baseball or whatever, didn't you get a trophy?
Some
like Little League?
Some teams, the coach would buy trophies for all the kids. Huh.
See, we had banquets. Every sport that I played.
And you got a trophy no matter what?
Yeah, everybody that played in the league got a trophy.
We only got them that we won.
Now
like the champion and runner-up would get one.
The champion of the league got a different trophy in addition to like the participation.
No,
do you mean like a little plaque or an actual like trophy?
Trophies.
Nowadays,
every
the kids
sport
get
that
trophies.
I ever played.
That's ridiculous.
No,
T-ball was the only sport I played where everybody
got a trophy. Devalues the
trophy,
so you don't get excited when you get a real trophy because you get a trophy every year.
It's
yeah, I got excited every time.
PC police need to.
When I was 8 or 9 years old,
you were a wuss.
Cool.
Still are.
Whatever. You know, then the best players got, the awards.
Paul would dress the guy up, too. The little trophy guy up with a little Northeastern hat and paint a little N on
put
his
a little
chest.
N, and I would have to walk
and the
out.
Paw on the back.
I would have to walk out. You know, my father would have to carry one of my trophies for me because I
had
wasn't able to carry
several.
I wasn't able to carry all the hardware home.
You gave Lydia as
who could?
Extra worst trophies. Kid on
the team. Most argumentative, most the guy who knew the stats best.
Defensive player of the year.
Best scorekeeper.
Defensive player of the year on what?
Pop Warner.
Oh.
14 years old.
14 years old? You got a problem with it?
Yeah. Guy?
It's just he was very defensive. That's why they gave
him. Had nothing to do with tackles or picks.
For undefeated GBL champs, 1982.
Wow.
soaking it up in my hot tub with my soulmate.
We're in Al Bundy territory here.
Hey, boss.
Glory days. You got it. Oh. I got to go to the bathroom. Dave from Rhode Island.
Oh,
says,
man.
Nothing soaking it up in my hot tub with my soulmate?
Short but simple, says Dave. The Patriots need to simply change their philosophy on defense. What they had this year just did not work in my eyes. Anyway, I don't know what you guys think. I don't think they have the right players to play get after the quarterback style of D. They need a total transformation on D. Call me crazy, but that's just my opinion. I think Paul would agree with you.
I agree with you too. Yeah,
total transformation.
Too. Yeah, what I think so.
I just think they need better players.
I agree. To me, that's kind of a total transformation. Like, you have a Pro Bowl safety who I don't think is somebody you build around.
Yeah, he's not worthy of the Pro Bowl, first
of
all.
So to me, that's a total transformation because a first-round pick who should be the focal point of your team and is a Pro Bowler in theory, I don't think he's a guy you build around to be a great defense.
Christian from Chile. Apropos of Paul running Brady out of town, how much weight do you guys put in advanced stats like the ones that the Football Outsiders do? In that note,
zero.
How do you feel that Brady, adjusting for pass defense, was the best QB this year according to the Football Outsider guys?
I think Brady's good.
Yeah,
I put no stock in
good,
that at
but
all.
What difference does
but
it make?
Paul doesn't like those stats.
The stats didn't help him in the playoffs.
We talked about those stats about a month and a half ago, and I told you that they used a lot of specifics about the defensive passer rating and how that statistic was so very important. And real quickly, they determined that all the best teams in the history of football, the 60s Green Bay Packers, their defenses had the best defensive passer rating. The Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s, best defensive passer rating. Well, you know who the best defensive passer ratings were in 2009? Buffalo, Carolina, and teams like that.
I didn't come
now,
to get no stats.
Based on that is why they think Tom Brady had the best year in football. Now, do you put any stock in that?
No.
I'll make
do you really think
simpler.
That those teams were that good?
No.
I'll make it even simpler. They compared Mark Sanchez and Jamarcus Russell and said they're essentially the same guy. Watch the games.
Not.
You haven't watched a football game in your life. You may have all these numbers that tell you that.
Yeah.
You didn't put in – you didn't watch a game. I'm sorry.
Lies.
You didn't watch a game.
Damn lies.
And then statistics.
You can, on one hand, tell me how important a statistic is, and then on the other hand, tell me the best in the league in a particular year was Buffalo at that statistic. It's also purely circumstantial for a one-season thing. Now, if it was over the span of 5-6 years, Buffalo racked up consistently the best defensive passer rating, maybe I'll change my opinion. But for a one-season, when they finished 32nd in the league in rushing defense and their pass defense was number one, I'm going to look at that as like circumstantial.
Right.
They got a couple of interceptions. Teams didn't throw the ball that very often, and the passer rating went way down.
Yep. Plus, if they knew what they were talking about, they'd be football insiders, not outsiders.
That's a good point. They would scrape to see.
Oh, indeed.
And run to?
Well, run to is scrape to see. Okay. Run away, you have a different responsibility.
I love
it. It depends where the run goes.
I know what it is. I love what he
Instantly
says.
Instantly, you got to decide, is it a run
in
which
direction?
I don't
know what it means. Don't get me wrong.
Christian from Chile has a PS. He says, Fred, I'm kind of pissed at you.
I didn't play linebacker at the Division III college level.
But
like
I'm just
you.
Saying, it's all. That's the part that annoys me when they try to make football sound so complicated.
I know, it's not that hard.
You get a playbook and you read it, and it's got your assignment right in front
what
of
is
you.
What is hard is knowing example. What they're doing on the field.
Take
exactly.
what Copen said about scraping to see.
No, Copen didn't say that.
Who said it?
Andy said it.
Okay. Put that
I was backing up James
what
Sanders
does that mean?
For his run blitz.
Put that in layman's
the guy was running behind him for 85.
Put that in layman's terms to show how ridiculous it is.
What?
Like, in other words.
No, he just had a responsibility on that play. Clearly, if there was a run to his side, he was the safety on that side of the field. If there was, he was in a run blitz. And as soon as the run, as soon as that first step and you read run, you're hitting the C gap.
Right.
And it's just a term. I don't know that that's what he was told on that play.
Right.
Or was, but. There are run blitzes where linebackers right. and safeties are blitzing to a gap.
And
as soon as
and
you
scraping
own that
just
gap,
means being close.
Being tight,
right.
scraping right off the linebacker
right.
or
right.
that D tackle, scraping right into that gap. So
right. Right.
you own that gap. So if the run play had hit for 85 there, that's your fault.
See,
don't tell me backside. I don't care about cutback.
That's the only
you
thing
have
that,
it.
That's the only thing that makes football complicated is the terminology.
But that's my point. You
that's
get the
it.
Playbook and it says strong safety in this defense. What are you doing? And it gives you your keys and everything you do. It's
right.
It's like a step by step manual, a recipe to make a cake. The cake on this play calls for you to be this egg.
Right. Part of what makes football different is. You could know all of those things. Like, Andy could know every assignment. If he knew what the assignment was for a player, he would understand exactly what the guy was supposed to do. And if you knew football, anybody else could, too. In baseball or other sports, you can watch and say, I know what the right fielder was supposed to do on that play.
Right.
You don't need to know
right.
what his assignment was.
Right.
The ball gets hit, and you say, he should have done this.
Right, right, right.
Well, and what makes it hard is it's on the move. Like, on your little diagram, it shows them in a trips right set and whatever, and you say, oh, yeah, that's easy, I do this. And then
all of a sudden the guy motions across and the tight end, and you and all of a sudden things are moving, and you're like, well, now what are we doing?
Right. This guy flashes in front of you that you didn't.
Right.
He wasn't on the X and O board.
Right. And there's a million of those. You know, Mike Marston company have 8 billion of those that they throw at you.
And you watch the three guys go out, and one guy does an in, one guy does an out, one guy runs a post or something, and you say, okay, well, what you didn't know was the guy who ran the post was supposed to run an in, and the guy who ran the in was supposed to run a post.
And and stuff like that, and you're combo covering with the corner
and
this, and we switch and we're staying with this.
Good job.
Sorry, we didn't mean to talk football on you there. We didn't mean to talk
over
your head.
It was a circus act.
I know you are young. You're only 28.
It's
you wouldn't
fine.
Know.
I like the topic. I was just saying.
He's a Dominican 28.
Oh, really?
Which means he's at least 42.
Did you learn power at the producer level?
Assistant.
P.S. says, Christian, Fred, kind of pissed at you. You didn't put a pin in the map when you read my first email. Have you ever read another email from Chile? I believe we have.
Well, Doc is supposed to put the pins in the map because he's the one who has the pins.
What happened to the pins?
We're out of pins.
Why don't we use Eric's
head? It's like taking our belts and shoelaces
away.
You're
worried
about us?
Perth, Australia, too. We had a guy from the last show. Wasn't there the show before, Perth?
Yeah, but it wasn't Jan Yankaboob.
No, it was not.
Yankaboob. You are a boob.
I don't think they like it when you do that.
Who's they?
They don't like when you yank their boob. You got to be a little gentle. Bag of sand, Eric.
Wait, what? What? Let's see.
He's out of his mind.
Larry the Drunk writes in, I think the simplest solution for the Pro Bowl is to get rid of it and just name an official league all-pro team. This means the Super Bowl is the final football action of the season.
I agree.
Which is the way it should be. Also, it means the all-pros named are the only all-pros in the seventh alternate can't claim Pro Bowl accolades, which protects the integrity of achieving this level.
I totally agree. 100%.
Just name the team and that's it.
The AP All-Pro team should be the All-Star team for every year. That's it. That way it doesn't matter if a guy's hurt.
Even the year when Matt lights the left tackle?
Hey, listen, these things happen. I'm not saying there's no perfect system, Andy.
Brian in Baltimore, hello men of PFW, including Eric. Yes, Eric, you are now a man. Eric did pretty respectable as a host, but don't get too excited. You're still a slouch when compared to Fred. Welcome to Kirsch Island. I like it.
Kirsch Island.
Me and Daryl.
Is that Shutter Island? Was that shot around here? Is that a New England movie?
Shutter Island?
With DiCaprio?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I don't think so, because it's like it's a prison on an island, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we do have that one.
There is one off Boston Harbor.
Yeah.
There, yeah.
I thought there were a bunch of them off there.
There couldn't be an island that they shot a movie on around here.
Right, and
guess we don't have any water anywhere.
Is it based there?
I don't know where the movie was shot. I don't have the answer to that.
It looks scary.
Yeah, I won't be seeing it.
TJ would say that.
You want to see Wolfman?
That's scary.
No.
I will kill all of them. Have you seen the commercial?
No. I've seen the trailer, but I didn't see that clip in there.
My wife wants to see Wolfman. I don't know why. She doesn't
Benicio
like
del Toro?
She sleeps with him.
Oh.
And he's got the full five buttons undone, exposing
and Eric's
that.
Eric's got the five layers. And, you know.
I like this battle back and forth.
It's much more enjoyable when it's them two and not me.
By the way, another Argyle sweater. Yep. Crew neck, though, not a V-neck.
Nope, it's V-neck.
It's a little bit of V-neck.
Oh, you have a blue background.
V-neck with a blue thermal.
Right. Blue thermal. Is it that cold in here, really? I mean, I'm warm right now.
In
our office,
because I'm laughing,
it's
I'm
a
being
lot
stupid.
Colder in the office.
I'm quite comfortable right now.
I guess because I work hard, I don't get
you
cold.
You don't do anything. Who are you kidding?
You work hard when you're correcting the the head of the organization in meetings.
Let's see. Anyways,
I didn't want to say the wrong title.
This is
there.
Brian.
So you said the head?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I figured better shoot higher than lower.
From the way you guys are talking today, it sounds like we are not going to sign Brady and Will Fork. So let's trade them both. And let the Armageddon begin. Everything being equal, of course, Brady and Wilfork 4. Ready?
I like it.
Tony Romo and DeMarcus Ware.
I like half of it.
It's a package deal.
Yeah.
I say no.
Well, I'll tell you why I say no. Tony Romo just signed a huge extension. If we're going to sign a quarterback to a huge extension, let's have it be Brady.
Yeah. They ate the bonus money.
But it's
so now you're not on the hook for the bonus
money.
You're
still
just
got
on
a lot of, but he's still got a lot of money.
Yeah. I'll tell you why. No, I don't like Tony Romo.
I don't like him either. I certainly don't like him anywhere near as much as Brady.
I like the DeMarcus Ware part, though.
Yeah. You can't have
David Garrard and Maurice Jones-Drew.
Hell no.
No way.
You should have said Pro Bowler David Garrard.
No.
Drew Brees and Jonathan Vilma.
No.
They're on different teams.
No, they're not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking. Never mind.
What
I was thinking of.
You thinking of Patrick thinking of Willis?
No, I was thinking of Merriman, for some reason.
Sean Merriman.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know why.
I would.
That's why Fred yells at you when you bring up.
I would give that.
I would give that some consideration.
I wouldn't.
I don't think as much a Breeze. I know.
I think Breeze is going to be exposed.
Breeze's numbers are so good. And they have been for 5 years now, so I guess I'm just wrong about them. But for something about
him, don't use that
logic
with Welker.
It's only 3 years. 5 years is the cutoff when you say you're wrong.
He's done the same thing. I mean,
yeah. We'll never know now because he's never going to be the same.
But that's not my point. My point is more along the lines of what other guys are going to do in his stead.
Matt Ryan, Michael Turner.
No.
No, running back? No, I wouldn't even give that.
Donovan McNabb.
He thought for a minute before saying.
Well, the Matt Ryan, I think that's.
I was thinking of.
Yeah. But if you give me a defensive play, like if John Abraham was 5 years younger, mm-hmm. and you said Matt Ryan and John Abraham, I'd say yes.
Yeah. Donovan McNabb and Asante Samuel.
No.
Joe Flacco and Haladi Ngata.
No.
Okay, that's it.
No.
So there is no one.
No.
It would have to be a dynamic.
You
pass
didn't offer
rusher.
Dwight Freeney and Peyton Manning. I would do that one.
I just said dynamic pass rusher and the quarterback. And I would think about it.
Is there
that's
any?
Why
trade?
DeMarcus Ware would be a possibility for me. Mm-hmm. Is there any what?
Is there any trade? Did he miss any?
Ben Roethlisberger and James Harrison.
And Ozzie Umenura.
And Justin Tuck.
What about Ben Roethlisberger and James Harrison?
I would probably do it.
I would do that.
Probably would do it too.
No, the thing about that.
What?
The thing about that is both of those guys are signed to extensions, correct?
Yeah. Big money extensions. But again, they paid the bonus money.
I don't think he's considering salaries or you know, conditions of the contract. I'm just think he's talking straight guys.
Yeah. You're out, Eric.
Oh. See,
but Eric, can we get back to you would
that's
take
Paul.
Roethlisberger?
That's coming from Paul.
And it hurts more.
It hurts way more coming from
Paul.
But
wait, let's focus on football. You would take Roethlisberger. You hate Roethlisberger.
I do, but I think they could get by with him and his adequate skills. And I'd rather have the pass rusher.
And his adequacy?
Yes, indeed.
As Bill McNeil would say from News Radio.
Let's see. Oh, you guys were talking about overtime ideas?
Yes.
PJD from North Carolina says, I'm not in favor of changing the rules to overtime, but if I had to change it, I thought this idea was interesting. At the beginning of overtime, each team's coach would submit a position on the field that they would be willing to have a kickoff or free kick to start the overtime. Whoever submitted yard line is farthest forward toward the opponent's
goal
would have to kick off.
No,
if the same yard line is chosen, then it reverts to coin toss.
No, thank you.
No,
it's too convoluted. This sounds like Obama's healthcare plan.
Anything that requires writing things on a slip of paper and then handing it to the ref, we're not doing.
He's a jackass.
The only thing he did in year one that I liked.
What?
Nothing.
No. Salim writes in, have you heard this nonsense about the Pats taking Tim Tebow in the first round? NFL.com are really idiots. First,
it's not Bucky Brooks, is it?
First Bucky Brooks thing you talked about Tuesday. Then Mike Mayock has the man beast named Sue as the second ranked defensive tackle in the draft, and now Tim Tebow is in the first round. I should have listened to you guys and just ignored them, but they are just dumb.
You know what Mayock does? He's a contrarian. He always has to go with the different guy. So he must have McCoy, I assume. As the best defensive tackle?
This is our Lance.
But that's what he does. He likes to be the... So he can go back in 2 years and say, I told you guys McCoy was better than Sue, but you didn't want to listen.
And then if Sue is better, it won't be, I told you guys that I thought... everybody thinks Sue is great.
Right.
So it's not going to be like he's looking bad. He sets himself up that he wins either way.
Right.
Plus, whatever the Patriots tell him,
no
he'll say...
No one goes on the record like Andy. 3,120. That was the number I put on, what's his name?
Darren McFadden.
Darren McFadden's career rushing
total.
Totals.
I remember.
He's going to have to have a couple of good years to get.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good about that prediction.
Does he have, he doesn't have 1,500.
I don't think so.
Right? He might not even
have
500
So when you go outside the box and say, Rashard Mendenhall.
He probably didn't
even
have 500 this year, did he?
No.
I don't know what he had last year.
Mendenhall is ridiculous. We got a comment today to the blog that said Maroney showed improvement next year. True or false? I mean, last year. Do you agree with that statement, Fred? Maroney showed improvement last year.
Yes, I agree with that.
Paul.
False.
I agree.
Really? 2-1?
Well, 2-2 with me. But.
I don't think he's.
How?
I don't think
he averaged 3.9 a carry, had less big plays, and fumbled all the time.
I think he's
he read
same.
His blocks a lot better. I think,
I think he's the same guy that I've seen since he's been here, and that's a Jag. I don't think he
regressed.
Jack
used to average 4 or 5 a carry when he would hit
big
plays.
I don't think he regressed. I just think that he is what he is, and that's a dime a dozen running back.
I think he regressed.
I think he showed improvement in that area.
In here.
I'm pointing to my head
in
my
a couple
hands.
Of areas, but not.
And then he showed new problems in the
exactly.
fumbling area.
Exactly.
That wasn't a problem.
Overall, he's not. Show improvement. Like Paul said, he's not. He's the guy we always thought he was, right. but he showed improvement in some areas. Right. It's just that right. he degressed in a few other areas.
What areas did he show improvement in again?
I think he ran smarter, and in some cases ran harder.
I think he ran
he followed
more decisively.
His blocks better. He ran decisively.
Yeah. I think the only thing you could say in a positive light is that he made it through every game.
Injury wise,
he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, I think he ran harder.
No. I don't.
Let's see.
I don't think that was a problem.
I don't either.
I don't think running hard was his problem.
I do not either.
I think staying healthy and being durable and being productive was his problem.
Decisiveness was a problem.
No, I don't think so.
It was.
I don't think he's that
good. I
agree
with you.
I didn't see this great change this year, getting to 3.9 a carry.
But it wasn't, it wasn't what we'd
hoped. But it was the statistical year of his career, correct?
I think if he hadn't fumbled, they would have kept him in longer and you would have seen more production.
I agree.
He only lost carries in one game for fumbling.
Lost carries, but
in one game.
No, more than
that. Wait a minute. I don't care when games, how many games, whatever. If you didn't F up, you'd be a better player.
No, absolutely.
That's
what we said.
What we're saying.
This fumbling wasn't an issue. It became
an issue.
If
Jonathan Wilhite didn't allow people to catch the ball in front of him, he'd be a much better corner.
That's correct.
So therefore, he didn't show improvement.
He showed improvement in the areas that we worried about in the past.
Right, but he degressed in other areas.
But yet statistically,
his numbers
went down.
Yeah, he dropped the big plays in the ball.
Yeah, that's circumstantial.
So how does that?
I thought you were the guy that statistics you're not into.
Well, when you're talking about whether a guy...
You have to have an eye for it.
Well played, old Kersh.
Now he leans back on statistics.
I'll get rid of my statistics and say he didn't make any big plays this year. At least in the past 3 years, he's made occasional big plays.
And my point...
That's no statistic to...
Say that the reason for that is he was never in a game
But yet he got
enough.
A career high in carries. And yet he played 10 games when he was the only running back.
Because his durability improved.
But yet he played 10 games when he was the only option at running back.
His durability,
when the other guys were all hurt.
His durability improved. That's why he had more carries.
But he had a career high in carries, and you're saying had he had more chances, he would have done more.
So now
he never had more chances.
Games,
so now in typical Fred-Paul fashion, we've come full circle. And the only thing that I said he improved at, his durability, Fred now is pointing to.
I agree. That's one of the things.
That's the only thing he improved.
In the things that we were worried about in the past, he improved it. New things cropped up this year.
Yeah, okay,
I
so therefore his performance dropped. But because the things that you worried about going into the year improved.
They improved.
He had an improvement.
What improved?
He improved nothing except for durability.
And his decisiveness, I think. Yeah. That was one of
but
the
how
main would, issues.
Okay, how
Wish
did that manifest itself?
Block Ray Lewis.
You know...
How did his decisiveness improvement manifest itself on the field?
Paul, you watch the games.
Exactly.
Okay? Where in a game do you say, oh, man, he's just not running? Like, as we could
criticize
him in the
past.
That is
your favorite line every game.
Okay. So,
oh, he should have had a touchdown.
You cut ties
there.
With him in week 8
he
or week 7.
He should have cut there.
Week...
Why didn't he stay outside?
Because
why
you,
didn't he
you
do
quote
this?
Said.
I don't say
right,
that.
So what was his problem in the past?
Durability.
No, when he was playing.
What was his
so,
problem?
So you were perfectly happy with Lawrence Maroney while he was healthy? In the past?
No, I thought he was inconsistent.
Okay, all right.
Whatever. That's all.
And at times, indecisive.
So we're going to call it?
And at this
Thank
year.
Thank you.
And this year, at times, he was
I
inconsistent.
Think the jury.
And
I don't think
he's
out of the jury. I rest my case.
Same damn guy.
You're saying that he improved.
He did not improve.
Me and Andy say it's the same guy. You say he improved.
You
how do you rest your
Paul,
jury?
Paul, do you remember when he said,
every
"Oh, now
carry,
he's bringing
he
the damn dancing to kick returns. Now just get rid of him. Now he dances
right,
all
that
the time.
Every single
that was this
so
year.
How did he improve
you
that?
Said he improved on it.
I think he improved on it.
What one game?
As the season went on, he improved.
Oh,
and
what,
I think
for 2 weeks.
I think most people who actually watch without a bias agrees.
Well, but why is it that every game he gets a carry, do you lament him not cutting outside or staying with the block or hitting the hole fast?
In the past,
lack
I did
of decisiveness.
Do
that. No, this
if the
year.
Past
no,
is this year. November, yes.
Oh,
I think
my God.
I think he approved. After
Fred,
that,
at least three times a game you say he blows a touchdown
After
run.
The Denver game where he he started dancing on the kickoff returns and then he kind of was phased out a little bit. Then they had the injuries. He came back out of necessity. I think he improved. And then the fumbles cropped up, and that ruined everything.
don't take those in good consideration because that's not something I worried about going into the year.
You didn't hear me complaining when they took him out of games after he fumbled, did you? Oh, they should keep him in there?
They only did it once.
They did it more than once.
No, they didn't. They did it once.
Yeah, they did it
once. Because they only had an option.
They
only had an option to do that once. So when he fumbled against Jacksonville and they had Taylor and Morris healthy, they yanked him. But when he fumbled against Indy and no one else was active, he had to stay in the game.
I'll be honest. I liked him more when he was indecisive and hitting big plays and holding on to the ball. Now that he's not indecisive anymore, which you say.
Now we have a decisive runner who doesn't get any big plays and fumbles.
Averages less than four a carry.
And that's
the only guy
on
the team that averages less than four a carry.
The only guy on the team who averages less than 4 yards.
But see, you know, if you think that I'm saying that Maroney's the answer, I'm not. All I'm saying is that I think he improved. I don't think, because of the fumbles and other things, that he's the answer, period. End of story. But I got to be fair.
I agree with you, Fred.
I got to be fair. I think he improved on those things.
I'll ask you for your real opinion when he gets cut.
Right. That's when we'll find out the truth.
I'm telling you right now.
Much like,
I don't think he's the answer. I think they need to go out and get a running back.
What
more truth do you need? I think they need to go out to get and get a running back.
But the truth is, I don't know the exact date. You were fed up with him. You were done.
I was.
See, here's where I'm going to button.
That was this year.
I don't think they need a new running back.
But I think then he came back in and he did better.
I just think it's an irrelevant position in today's NFL.
Oh, I don't. CJ Spiller, give him to me.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it an irrelevant position?
Mm-hmm. I think it, you know, when you get a guy that's a real playmaker, it becomes relevant.
The 31 and 32 in rushing. I don't think you need it. I think it's great to have. It's great to have a CJ Spiller if he's there.
Or an Adrian Peterson.
No, you can keep him.
He improved this year too, Paul.
He improved. I want the guys.
Fumbling means you improve.
You know, like Chris Johnson and, you know, guys that can hit home runs. Nice to have, but. If you don't have a passing game, you can't win.
But that's my point. They do have Brady, and I'd like to
see the passing game wasn't consistent enough this year for them.
No, I know, but I think C.J. Spiller would be a weapon in the passing game.
Sure.
I think he is somewhat.
I'm not saying I don't want it. It's not a big priority for me.
I think they need to go out and get a running back.
But who?
A young, durable guy you can depend on, not somebody who's over 30. And not a guy like Maroney.
Those guys are
a dependable
running
back.
You pay top dollar or you draft him.
You got to draft him because otherwise it's a waste. Even if you get Michael Turner and he ends up being great for you, he's done. I'm telling you right now, he had 1,500 yards last year, 1,600 yards.
7,000 carries.
And I agree, you do have to draft
him. And in 2010, he'll be done.
But he wouldn't have 2,000 carries here, right? Because you're not developing Matt Ryan.
Maybe.
So he could get his
But he's also
12.
Not getting his salary that he got in Atlanta here.
Well, yeah, that's true, too.
They ain't ever going to give anybody a free agent running back that
more
much.
I see it. Spiller, right in that 18 to 23 range.
So you got to draft him.
Would you?
No, I don't mean Spiller. I mean, if you want that home run hitting running back, you have to draft him. Because you're not going to get it in free agency because you're not going to pay for him.
I like him. Could he return kicks,
not going to pay for him. And also, I don't think the crop is there this year. I'm looking through the list right now.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you who's there.
Eric could. He's got 17 packets of paper over there.
Well, Ronnie Brown. Who's,
show prep.
A lot of injury problems there.
Good player. Jarius Norwood.
He's that kind of guy, but he's had injuries too.
Yeah. Willie Parker.
No.
Getting up there.
The other guy.
Your ridiculous. Guy, Adrian Peterson.
What?
Fumbler.
Adrian Peterson. The other Adrian Peterson.
So I was going to say, that's not your guy because there's no way he's a free agent.
Darren Sproles.
Nope, too small.
Chester Taylor, 30 years old.
He would be their kind of guy.
I would take Chester Taylor because at 30 years old, he also hasn't had
a lot of
carries the last 3 years. He's a little bit fresher than a normal 30-year-old.
Pierre Thomas.
So fresh and so clean.
RFA.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this.
The clock
that's pretty much
my headphones.
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We hope you... had a good time with us.
Larry, you're the best.
What's
Larry.
Going on? Anybody doing anything special this weekend?
Outstanding.
Nothing?
Larry.
No?
All right. I'm just thinking about what Larry fed me.
Pump it up.
Pump it up? What's that?
Will Perillo's birthday party.
All right. There we go. Okay, you going to get him an iPad?
Another good January birthday.
All right.
You going to get one of those maxi pads?
No, I'm not going to.
It's a birthday party.
Terrible name.
All right. Well,
terrible.
That's it for this edition. We will see you next Tuesday.